Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Is in a state of emergency. There are thunderstorms and lightning, and it's awesome.
Cool. Well, hopefully lightning won't strike you down while we're trying to do the show.
Well, I'll take my aluminum underwear off then.
didn't the drunken Brian or Vinny wish that upon you at the Christmas show one time?
Sounds like something they'd say.
Yeah. And we got another cool host on the line, Contreras. What's going on, Contreras?
Did you get a voice transplant?
Yeah,
no,
what's the matter with you, dude?
I lost my voice. It happens when I go to Vegas.
Well, okay.
I
don't
know. I thought it was talking to a white dude.
It has all week because it's been pretty bad.
Thought I was talking to a white dude or something.
Like a white dude?
Yeah.
The last few years, it actually hadn't gotten too bad, but before that, it's like every year. Like, I totally lose it. Like, this past Monday, you could barely hear me if I was talking. But it's coming back a little bit, but it's enough to do the show. It's enough to carry
you. Keep this voice. You should keep this voice.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's almost soothing.
Yeah.
It's almost soothing.
Not as good as Craig's.
But it doesn't feel soothing.
No, that's for sure.
But anyway, guys, it's been a while since we've had a show. What's been going on?
Same old stuff, working and living.
Direct TV acting like assholes, won't put on Impact.
Does that affect you? Do you have Direct TV?
Yeah, I got Direct TV, unfortunately.
Me too.
How did you watch Impact?
I didn't.
Me neither.
Oh, well, I know these illegal streams that can help you out, you know.
Well, I wanted to watch it live when I didn't know what was going to happen.
That's true.
I'm sure they'll get that shit fucking fixed pretty soon. I mean, they're both losing a lot of money that way, so...
They'll have it hammered out by next week, I'm sure.
Usually they don't get that far. Usually there's always a threat, but usually right before the deadline they work that shit out. But
well, that happened with WWE back in like 2001, and it was all for like, well, that was Dish Network. That was like for 3 or 4 months. They were all pay-per-views. Were all for like Dish Network or something.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
I did get to watch the pay-per-view Sunday night though, so that was probably better.
Yeah, probably. The last time one of these things happened with DirecTV, the channels were out for like 3 days, and they came to an agreement. So I bet you they have it wrapped up by Monday.
Yeah, and luckily none of the other channels I watch, so I don't really care. I just want to get Spike back.
Well, I like my Palladia very much, so it's a music channel, and they have, you know, actually play music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Instead of having reality shows every half hour?
Yeah. Yeah, no Jersey Shore or anything like that.
Cool.
Hey, since we only got Mikey for an hour or whatever, why don't you give him a jingle jangle?
Okay, so well, since I don't have my headset, it's going to take me a little bit longer to call, so why don't you guys carry the show without screwing it up, and I will be back as soon as I can.
Hmm.
All righty.
Yes. Ed doesn't have his headset, so we have to carry the show.
So you didn't see the pay-per-view Sunday?
I didn't see the pay-per-view Sunday. I wished I had, actually, but
it was a hell of a show.
I was going to go over to Brian's, but then his plane got delayed, and then he lost his purse, and, well, you can fill in the rest. So.
It was a hell of a show, one
yeah.
of the best pay-per-views, I would say. You know, one of the best pay-per-views this year.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I would imagine, excuse me, that the pay-per-view this weekend will probably do very well as well.
Yeah, I mean, they got two ladder matches. They got Punk and Brian in the main event, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty good, I hope.
I was shocked at the main event last Sunday. I wouldn't expect Nelson Aries to win.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me as well. It's a good direction, though. I mean, it makes sense to get it off of him for a while, so then hopefully he can feud with Storm when they bring it back, so.
Yeah, I figure he's going to lose it in the next 2 months anyway, so.
I'm just glad he didn't lose it yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, crazier things have happened, let's be honest.
And they had an awesome match, Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles in the Last Man Standing match. That was one of the best matches this year also.
One of the best of the year?
Yeah, I would say.
Wow. I will definitely have to check it out.
He gave him a style splash through the off of the ramp through a table. It's a bump I would not take.
Well, there's a lot of bumps I wouldn't take, but yes, I would be up there as well.
If it includes my face going towards the concrete. No thanks.
Right. Oh,
I was half expecting Kenny King to win the X Division title just based on the stuff that happened last week.
That's a weird situation. I don't understand that at all. I thought I love Ring of Honor, but they kind of handled
the ball. A little incompetent, I think.
A little unprofessional.
Well,
to be honest,
yeah. After all the years through the Monday Night Wars, you don't put belts on paper you ain't got under contract. You can't take a handshake deal. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And that was just their first screw-up, to be honest.
I feel bad
for
his tag team partner, though. You know, that kind of screws him.
Oh, Red Titus. Yes. Our favorite guest. Kind of.
Maybe he should have gone with him.
You know, he'd actually be a good fit there. I think he would do very well there, actually. Apparently, Ed is communicating via
telekinesis.
I was going to say, I lost the joke.
And
he's sending him a telegram, apparently.
like they do in the Old West, where you got to put on horseback to get to the birth.
Yeah. Pony Express. Perhaps he's sending smoke signals? Telegram?
Craig, can you introduce our guest for us, please?
I would love to introduce our guest, Ed. Our guest tonight fought his way from the ring crew to become an ECW original. He's here tonight to chat with us about the history of ECW and will undoubtedly drop an F-bomb or two. Please welcome to the show, Mikey Whipwreck.
Now, I take offense to that, Craig. I don't curse at all.
I know wrestlers never curse.
Especially this one. Fuck it, A, man.
There's one. I was actually going to keep a tally. I was going to keep a tally of you and Ed because you're two of the worst mouths I've ever heard, to be honest with you.
Did you guys watch the franchise, that baseball show about the Marlins on Showtime?
No,
Showtime.
No, they do it's kind of like, you've seen that, the football where, like, they follow the football team preseason.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with baseball. And this year they're doing the Florida Marlins and Ozzie Guillen. Mm-hmm. And he had his first pep talk with the team in the locker room before the first game, I guess. And the one guy had a little clicker, and he was tallying the F-bombs. And I think it was something like 97 in, like, one speech.
Wow.
Yeah. That's got me beat. How are you doing today, Mikey?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's a Friday, which is always nice. Plan on just, relaxing the rest of the weekend. Get my fat ass back in shape. Down 13 pounds. Get excited.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
DDP, power yoga.
Really?
Good stuff. Yeah. YRG.
How's that working?
Pretty good. I've actually, I've never been flexible, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But this is helping a bit. I can actually kind of bend down and touch my toes without screaming bloody murder. So it's pretty cool.
That's good. Is DDP calling you to check on you?
No, I talked to him a while ago. But, I have the DVDs he sent me, and they're pretty cool, and they definitely do work. So, I mean, I've heard people, talk about it, and I go, all right, come on. Yoga, really?
Yeah.
But the shit does work. If you stick to it, you do it, it works.
Well, he's got that video of that one guy who was like, could barely walk, and he can, like, run. So
I wouldn't go as far as to say I believe that, but you never know. Being in the wrestling business for almost 20 years, I'm rather certain when I think everything's a work.
Right.
I still think the Super Bowl's a work, but that's just me.
Well, the NBA playoffs were a work this year.
There you go.
Yeah.
What your team
Brian has a set of those DVDs, and I keep telling him that, I want to take them home and use them. And every time I go to his garage, they're in a pile on top of a bunch of other DVDs that he's never going to do anything with. So,
Brian. Who's Brian?
Yeah. Brian Alberstein. He's a nice Jewish kid.
Nice Jewish kid. All right, very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense, but I have a bad experience with the Jews.
Oh, is that right?
Nah, just one. Just one. That's one time we asked, talk about Paulie, and I'm just kidding, really. But talking one time, and we figured, hey, is Paul lying? And is his dad said, or his lips moving? That was coming from his dad.
Nice. Still living in his basement at the time?
Probably.
Mikey, I wanted to bring up, I remember a couple weeks ago I saw you posting on Facebook that you're about to mark out for Cyndi Lauper. And I kind of felt the same way, but during the skit I kind of was torn. Like, there would be moments where it was horrible and then be moments when it was awesome, and it kind of went back and forth. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the final segment.
Fucking brutal. Absolutely fucking brutal.
Right?
Like, I said, hey, Cyndi Lauper. I said, okay, this could be cool. And I was watching the old video. They had Captain Lou, and I'm thinking, hey, all right, this could be pretty good. And then they brought out Wendy Richter,
uh-huh.
who, nothing against Wendy Richter, but having her in HD on my TV, on my 60-inch television, not the greatest thing in the world.
So it's like Birth of Fame.
I'm not going to comment. Well, all right. It was fucking brutal. But, I was excited for it at first, and Cyndi Lauper, I'm like, all right, this is not too bad. I go, she's energetic. She seems to be into it. And then it shit the bed. it's like putting little Guido in charge of hotel reservations. Shit the bed. Guido booked this one time in a hotel called the Tuck 'Em Inn. I said, hey, can we get a wake-up call? They gave us a fucking alarm clock. You had to wind up with the two bells on top. And then, on top of that, you went to take a shower, stepped into, I didn't actually get all the way into the shower, reached in to turn the shower on, look up, and there's fucking soap with hair all fucking over it.
Oh.
I slept on top of the sheets, fully dressed in my gear. Chris was like, Mike, why are you getting dressed? I said, fuck it. I said my gear, after being on the wrestling mat covered in blood and everything else, is more sanitary than this place.
Wow. Mikey, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is there's been some shows with some of your former alumni that have been making some news, and I was wondering if we could get your thoughts on the Shane Douglas shows, because it seems like you've been having like one disaster after another backstage and stuff. And what's your opinion? And have they asked you to work those shows?
They never asked me for the first one, and you know, everybody kept saying, "Oh, you're going to be on it," and not from Shane or anybody, but you know, like, "Oh, they'll ask you," and nobody ever asked me. So I said, "Ah, you know what? Fuck it." So I booked a cruise for me and my wife. We took a cruise down in the Caribbean. We booked. This way, even if they did ask, I could say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard what a debacle it was. And then I was talking to Jerry Lynn about it a couple weeks after it, and he said it was as bad as they said. It was just things just kind of fell apart. And then supposedly they were trying to contact me through Twitter, which I didn't get anything that way. And then supposedly they were trying to get me on Facebook, and supposedly Shane left me a message, but I never got a message from Shane. And then my friend Damien, who's working with Shane, tried to contact me, and I gave him my cell phone number. But I don't know if I typed it wrong or I don't know what was happening. He said, "We're booking the show tonight if you want to do it." And I didn't get the message till early in the morning. I said, "I just got this now, so whatever." Plus, being kind of out of shape, I don't know if I really wanted to. I told him, I said, "Damien, I said, I don't know if I really want to wrestle, really." I said, "Yeah, I don't know, really. I'm going to go out there and embarrass myself. You know, local indies, not a big deal, but something that's going to get like a lot of press. I don't think I was really shaped to do it." But it didn't work. Maybe in the future, who knows. But I heard the last two shows were better than the first one they had.
Yeah.
But I don't follow too much details of things. I get snippets of info here and there. People tell me, or I kind of browse online. But, hey, I hope they do well. I mean, I hope everybody, you know, I like to see everybody make some money, have a good time, you know, and get some new talent out there too. But
What's your opinion on these groups coming and like, TNA next month has got their Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, and last year they did the, you know, they brought in all the ECW guys, and what's your opinion on them trying to reinvent or restart the old ECW?
I think the ship has sailed, I think. I mean, for a novelty thing, nostalgia thing, here and there, it's not a big deal, I think, but that's, you know, everybody says ECW, hardcore. It was hardcore wrestling, but yeah, I got to remember, too, we had, you know, back in the day, we had, you know, Malenko and Guerrero and all them. You know, we had Ray Ray and Psychosis and Hoobie all come in. You know, and basically, the hardcore thing, it was just everybody busting their ass. You know, we had, it was like all the misfits, ECW. So it's like all the misfits that went out there, and they just said, you know what, we have something to prove, and or we have nothing to lose. So let's just go out there, do the best we can, no politics, no bullshit, and just put on the best shows we can. And that's how it all started. I mean, now granted, a year or two would become a big clusterfuck, you know, clicky and everything else, but it started out, you know, with everybody just going out there and just busting their ass. And that's kind of what it was. I mean, that's what Funk always said. Hardcore is not tables and chairs. Hardcore is your effort. Hardcore is how much you want it. You know, and he's absolutely right. So, and plus, I think the people that are doing this hardcore thing, they just don't get it.
Hey, yeah.
You can do tables of barbed wire and blow up dolls and all this shit, and we think we know what the fuck we're doing.
Agreed.
But hey, that's what they want to do, knock themselves out.
Couture, go ahead.
Yeah, back in 96, when they did the crucifixion angle, were you there in the arena, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, I was there. I think Kurt Angle was there too, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was doing like commentary, I think.
Yeah, you know, I had seen so much fucked up shit, and I didn't really, I mean, okay, they did an angle where they crucified him, you know, they put the thing on his head. I didn't really, I mean, I guess I'm kind of religious, but I didn't really worry about it too much. I mean, because you do, I always consider wrestling like a sport, but entertainment, and there have been plays and there have been movies that have done a whole lot worse than that. And I just figured, okay, in the context of what we were doing, I just figured, okay, we'll do it. I didn't necessarily get the whole uproar about it.
You think maybe it's because it was you know, like I guess Todd and Paul were Jewish, so maybe they think they were, you know, kind of making fun of religion or something like that.
You know, I don't even think of it that. You know, I don't think, you know, hey, we're Jewish, so we can just fuck with this and piss off all the guys. I don't think it was that at all. I just think that they just, Hack and Scotty came up with this angle. That's what they wanted to do. They did it, and a couple of the guys blew a fucking gasket. I guess some of the really religious ones, they blew a gasket. And some of the religious ones who blew a fucking gasket, well, quite frankly, they have the shit I've seen them fucking do. A lot worse than that. But, hey, to each his own. If you were offended by it, you know, they apologize for offending people. I mean, it wasn't their plan. They didn't go out and say, hey, let's fucking piss people off. I just figured they said, hey, this is heavy. We'll get some heat out of it. I don't think they figured they get the backlash they did.
When you were working in ECW, when you first started in, who do you think, like, in the ring taught you the most about quote-unquote sports entertainment?
Mick Foley, believe it or not. He, as sick as he is and crazy, he got it. He knew he was doing Cactus Jack, and they expected the psychotic, crazy, bump-taking guy. But he also go out there, he actually knew what to do to get a reaction. I mean, he knew what to do, when to do it, and he would even throw comedy out there as we were doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just, you know, because when I saw Cactus Jack, you know, watching him, he was the sick, sadistic bastard. You know, he's the Cactus Jack Manson. He goes, this guy's fucking nuts. You know, sick and he's evil. You know, and then he comes in and he's, you know, doing some ha-ha, you know, doing some stuff with me. I mean, that even this guy, as respected as he is for just being a hardcore bump taker, he can get over doing some comedy and doing some crazy things. And just, you know, on the road with him and teaming with him, I learned more than I ever thought I would know. And I realized, every time I talked to him, I realized I knew shit. I didn't know a fucking thing. You know? But it seemed that way with everybody. Because, you know, I would travel with Cactus, and then I would travel with Taz, and then I would travel with Dreamer, Paulie, and Taz. You know, and then I was riding for a while. I was riding with Shane Douglas, and then I'd ride with Raven for a bit. You know, so it's like everybody I travel with, I was fortunate enough to travel with guys who'd been around and knew what they were doing. You know, so it was always just like I'd pick their brains and talk and ask questions and pick and talk and ask questions and let them just ramble. You probably heard the story of Terry Funk talking to me for like an hour, and half of it would just be gibberish. You know, him just round to fuck with me. You know.
Right.
But, you know, I just love to talk to guys and just listen. I mean, even I was in Japan for Tajiri at the end of May, and Finley was on the tour. And I hung out with Finley for a week, you know, just talking, asking him questions. You know, and that guy, you know, he's wrestling like almost 30 years now. 40 even? I'm not even
pretty
sure. So, I mean, even with him, just what he knows, it's just amazing. And I said to him, I was in Japan, I said, man, when are you going to go back to Vince? I said, because fuck. You know, you could teach these guys more in 5 minutes than they probably learned, you know, in 10 years. And I heard he's back now. I shot him an email yesterday. I heard it, but I mean, just these senior guys, you know, I just wish that these young guys today had the ability to go and travel with the seniors, you know, and the veterans, and just listen, pick their brain, because they're really missing out.
The fact, like The Undertaker, there's really not that many, like, really long-term veterans in the WWE right now. It seems like everyone's just been there, like, maybe 5 or 6 years at the most.
Yeah. It's definitely different. You know, you look back, okay, you look at WWE in the mid to late 80s. These guys were, like, 34, 35 years old back then. You know, they've been around, they seasoned, they know their stuff. They know what they had to do. They came in. They had their character basically set. I mean, Vince would change it here and there. Some guys would get a complete overhaul. But for the most part, these guys knew what they were doing, and they had years to perfect it before they went national on TV with Vince. You know, and even then, in the 90s, you know, the early 90s, you had Bret and Shawn take over. you know, so and you know, 1-2-3 Kid and them. But then in even in the late 90s, you know, you had Cactus, you know, Sean was still there, Steve Austin, you know, and these were guys that had the chance to go to the indies and work the territories a little bit, and you know, they were in WCW for a bit, but they had a chance to actually grow and learn. You know, you're not thrown from developmental where you're learning from the same three guys, and everybody wrestles the fucking same, and everybody looks the fucking same, and everybody does the same shit, and everybody's promos are written by the same fucking guy, and it's just bullshit. You watch TV now, it's like, this is the most boring, generic shit I've ever seen. And if they tell me one more fucking time it's an episodic television show, I'm going to fucking scream. I don't want to watch a TV show. I don't expect to suspend my disbelief for 2 and now 3 hours next week. 3 hours, and constantly be told it's a fucking TV show. I don't want to watch a movie and be told every 15 minutes, hey, I'm Sylvester Stallone, and this is just a movie. I don't want to fucking hear it. That's why people watch fucking TV, and they watch fucking movies on TV. They get fucking pissed because they got to watch fucking commercials. It kills me.
Yeah.
So why the fuck can't you just put on your fucking TV show, pretend for 2 fucking or 3 hours that it's fucking real, okay? And then when it's over, if you want to go on fucking Twitter and everything else, all the fucking smart people that know the fucking deal, go right to fucking head. Knock yourself the fuck out. But for 3 hours, shut the fuck up. I want to think that fucking John Cena wants to kill the fucking Big Show, and that's all I give a fuck about. What's so fucking hard about?
My counter just blew up.
Fuck. Fucking A.
Well, so, like, are there any of the wrestling shows that are actually, like, TV shows that are actually catching your interest, or are you bored with everything? Like, what about TNA right now?
TNA, I've watched TNA a little bit, okay? I was after the chair shot to the head of that one guy. I forgot who fucking took it. This was years
ago. Rob Terry.
Right, and I was fucking boycotting TNA. Plus, the product sucked ass.
True.
But now I've heard it's better. I think the problem with TNA is they got to stop being so cute. Stop thinking you're being cool and you're being fucking funny and you're being old. Just come out there and put a fucking show on. Stop being so cute. God damn it. This business is so easy. I get so mad. Ozzie Guillen, fuck you. I will curse more than you any day, every day. Fuckity. Fuck. Sorry. See, I started off nice and calm, saying, hey, it's Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a good time. Now I'm just aggravated.
Worked up.
I'm twitching my neck here, shuttling my shoulders like Taz. Is that bad? Pacing like Taz.
Now, speaking of your neck, how's your health?
Shitty.
Have you made plans to get that surgery yet, or you still just keep putting it off?
Nah, fuck it. I figure I've dealt with it this long. It goes to the point where it kind of gets better. And actually, believe it or not, this yoga has fucking helped. I don't know how or what voodoo's in these yoga DVDs, but it has definitely helped. You know, people ask me all the time, hey, Mikey, are you feeling better? Are you feeling better? I look at it this way. I never expect to feel better. I just hope to not feel worse.
You sound kind of like Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, I mean, you know, the guy knows his stuff. He's insane. We brought him in for NYWC a couple years ago, and he got his knee replaced like 2 weeks before that. I go, hey, Terry, I said, you know, you're the special enforcer. I said, I know you got knee replaced. I said, you really want to do anything? Oh, God damn it, Whippy, I'll be out there. I will stand at ringside by the pole holding my ass up. And if these guys want to feed, I will punch them. But I'm not going to do a goddamn thing. Is that okay? Please don't mean. Don't be mad. I'm Terry. I'm crazy. I don't mean to. I said, Terry, you do whatever the fuck you want. If you want to sit out in the ring there, take a piss, go right ahead. Oh, I won't do that. And they looked at me. I'm going, no, don't do that. But next thing I know, he's in the fucking ring during the match. With a ladder on his head, he's spinning around with a ladder. He's giving guys DDTs. And I yell, what happened to not doing anything? He looks at me and goes, I can't help it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You were talking about Taz earlier, and a couple weeks ago we did a show on Legit badasses in the ring. Would you put Taz in that? I actually said that you were a tough dude because nobody could get their butt kicked night after night after night without being a tough dude.
I'm not a tough guy, you know, by any means. I don't walk around like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let appearances deceive you. I can go if I have to. It's only happened once. It wasn't in Syracuse either. But I held my own. So.
What about Taz?
But yeah, Taz is he's a badass. You're asking the wrong guy though, because you know me when I broke in, I was 5'9", 180 pounds, 185 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, everybody was a badass. You know.
Yeah.
Taz is a badass. I said Tommy Dreamer, the shit he put his body through, was a badass. Sabu is fucking insane. Cactus Jack is insane. But the question is, are you talking badass as in, holy shit, this guy can take a fucking beating? Or a badass like, hey, he'll fuck somebody up?
Take a fucking
How about
beating.
A little from column A and a little from column B?
Taz could do some fucking damage if he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
The deal with Taz was, Taz, he's really like a pussycat. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really, 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 really get him pissed. Then it's scary. For him just to be mad is scary enough. But, you know, I always knew how to fuck with him. I always knew how to get under his skin and get him to be not mad at me 5 minutes later.
Right.
But I do know that you actually really fucking pissed him off. It wouldn't be good. Perry Saturn's another one. You know, I've seen him fuck people up.
What about Little Guido? I've heard that Guido is actually a pretty tough dude.
Guido's tough. He knows how to shoot, too. You know, you get a fight with him, you make the wrong move, he's got you hooked, and he's going to pop a shoulder or something.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, and there are some guys, you know, that are like, I don't want to say pastries, but they're like puff cakes. guys that just couldn't fucking handle it. And I'm not going to go drop a name, but, you know, it's kind of guys who, you know, couldn't break an egg. But like I said, I'm not a badass, but I'm not a pussy either. You can't get stretched by Taz and Perry 6 days a week for 2 years and,
right.
and not learn something. You know what I mean?
How did you actually discover ECW?
The guy by the name of Sonny Blaze, who quote unquote trained me. He owned a ring, and ECW rented it, and I was setting it up for him, and that was it. And I had just trained, you know, I had no desire, really, I wasn't fooling myself to think I would get into wrestling, you know. So me and my buddies, we put the ring up, you know, and we did a high spot. I think I stood on the top rope, did a backflip, landed on my feet, and then Joey Styles told Paul, "You got to see these kids." Paul goes, "Hey, you want to wrestle?" I said, "Okay. I don't have gear. I don't know really what I'm doing, but you want me to?"
How much did it pay you for the very first job you ever did?
Nil.
Yeah.
I think I had like four matches. But I didn't give a shit. I'm like, hey, I'm wrestling. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I had like four matches. I was on the road for like 2 days. I was working at the time at Kmart overnight. I guess, how old was I? 19 years old. I was working at Kmart overnight. So I worked overnight at Kmart, all night shift. Then drove to my buddy's house, picked up the ring that was actually in a cellar. Picked it up, drove to Philly, put the ring up, wrestled like four matches, waited until they were done with promos, took the ring down, drove back up to New York. So I was up probably like 48, 50 hours straight. I think I got McDonald's on the way home, I think. It was definitely a money-losing adventure. But it was fun. And they go, hey, you want to come back and do it again? Sure, why the fuck not?
How long did it take for them to actually start to pay you?
I was getting my ass kicked pretty regularly. And it was like a house. It was like in Delaware or somewhere, I think. And they had me on the lineup like three times. And I said, listen, I'm not getting paid for this. I said, I'm beating myself up. I said, I don't think I want to do it. Okay, here's $100. I said, okay, cool, thanks.
Wow.
I said, that was it. I just want to get paid from. Yeah, and I was cheap.
Nice.
That was a cheap date.
Sure.
So, yeah, and then I got like $100 a night for a while.
My first payoff was $25 Canadian.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was that $50 now?
It might be now, actually.
Used to be $250.
Then it was like
$50.
Then it was like like $10.50 or something like that.
Gee.
Yeah. Good times.
You know what? I fucking enjoyed it. I was on TV. You know, my mom told me
right.
I'm an idiot. Still does. It was fun, man.
So from setting up the ring in like 93, and then like in 95, you're in the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
That weekend was insane for me. I think I wrestled, I wrestled Raven on a Thursday night somewhere at some indie show. Then on Friday night up in Jim Thorpe, I wrestled Rey Mysterio. And then the next night, I wrestled Steve Austin, I think. It's fucking nuts. Like, this is crazy. I go, I suck. What am I doing wrestling these guys?
What are your thoughts on that program that you did with Austin?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. Yeah, I fully expected that. Okay, I'd win the belt from Hack, and then I was losing it right away. I thought to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul goes, oh, you're going to wrestle Austin. I go, what? Yeah, he goes, yeah, you're going to. I said, well, I thought I'm wrestling Hack. He goes, yeah, no, that's what we're saying, but we're going to do an angle where you're going to actually wrestle Austin. I go, oh, dear God. I was fucking petrified because I had found wrestling Hack who called every move A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
Every step, you know, and they weren't exactly mad classics, if you know what I mean. There's really
right.
no wrestling involved, you know. And then I'm going to go to wrestling Ray, who I was just intimidated by as fuck by because, well, he was Ray, you know.
Right.
And then, oh, by the way, you're going to wrestle Steve Austin. We went, oh my God, I go, this guy, oh my God, he's going to wrestle me. I said, well, I'm going to put him over at least to be happy. And then Paul goes,
mm-hmm.
oh, by the way, he's putting you over. I said, oh, he's going to beat me up. Oh God, he's going to beat me up. Holy fuck, he's going to beat me up.
Right.
So as I'm shitting my pants sideways in the back, he goes up to me. He goes, all right, son. He goes, we're going to go out there. I'm going to jump you before the bell. He goes, we're going to call it all in the ring. Sensei Flip, hook the tights. I said, he just said, we're going to call it in the ring. That's usually bad. That's bad. That means it's a shoot.
Right.
We're going to call it in the ring. That's bad. That's bad. And I'm like fucking petrified. So then what happens is he hadn't worked, and I guess he tore his tricep. And he hadn't worked for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out, beats up the Sandman, blows himself up. Now he's cutting a promo. I go to leave the ring. He jumps me. Now he's blown sky high. He is pounding on me in the corner on the guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
And his punches were notorious for rubber mallets, as they were. Beating the fuck out of me. I'm going, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
he's beating the shit out of me. He goes, damn, kid, I'm blown. And they started laughing. And I go, wait a minute. He's not shooting on me. We're actually, you know, I just had never called anything in the ring before.
Right.
You know, I was doing just pretty much squashes and stuff with Hack was A to Z. You know, Taz was that way, A to Z. Sabu was like that way, A to Z. But I'd never actually gone out there. And then we actually worked a little bit. And then he said, reverse it, take over. He shot me to the rail. I had no idea what the fuck to do. not the slightest clue. So I just started punching him, chopping him, or whatever the hell I did.
Right.
And he took over again. But I had no idea what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
Pretty
just
fun.
When you were in
and
the
then,
office, just when you had the office, you didn't know how to go to a transition to...
I couldn't transition to save my life, especially with somebody like Steve, that big. I don't think I could actually take him in. Hey, Frankensteiner.
That's true.
I don't think I'd have the balls to call it.
Right.
And quite frankly, nothing popped in my head except, punch.
No, Mikey, like really early on, your gimmick kind of was that you were like just terrified. And how much of that was actually legit?
No, I was actually, you know, people say, oh, you're a job guy. I love being a fucking job guy. Cause, you know what? Because especially in ECW, you know, guys were getting paid, and they weren't getting paid a lot of money. And it, once you were in, unless you really fucked up, you were in, you know. So Paul liked me enough. He kept me. He gave me, like, enough of a push to kind of keep me somewhat relevant, you know. I'll tell you what. You ask all the heels who you want to work with, it was either me, Dreamer, or Sabu. They just got what to work with because I would do whatever they wanted. It was very easy. I would sell for them, make them look like $1 million. That was it. So Paul always said, he goes, Mikey, you are a fucking utility guy. He goes, I can put you in the ring with anybody, and you'll get a good match out of them. You know, they'll have a good match with you. So I never really got a huge, huge push because, well, look at me. But I was good enough, I guess, to keep a job, you know, and be somewhat entertaining. But I love being a job guy. I used to love taking bumps. I would take bumps, you know, when you're 20 years old. I would take bumps all day, every day. Didn't matter. Just loved it. Until it started to hurt, and I said, you know, I can't keep doing this. It's hardest.
Go ahead, Katrina.
Yeah, I think one of the things was with you is the bumps you took just looked so... It made the other person look so good. Like, I'd see you take a total elimination or something like that and just, like, decapitate you. And that's why I would think people would want to work with you to make them look so good like that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I was just, it just came natural, just taking bumps. You know, I just found it easy. You know, just take them, jump as high as I could, bump as fast as I could. And, you know, the guys just, they appreciated it. You know, my friend
now,
matches with Mr. Hughes, and he was like, damn, you bump real high. Okay.
Now, so what do you think, when Terry Funk wasn't able to make the match with Cactus against Public Enemy, did they have any plans for you before that, or were they just like an accidental thing with you getting thrown out there?
I have no idea. Back then, I didn't know shit. I would just show up, and they would tell me stuff, and, oh, by the way, you're winning the TV belt from Pitbull. Yeah, okay. Rib. I'm thinking, yes, this is a rib. I said, now I know what a rib is. This is it. And then they told me I was getting in. I was, whatever the fuck hotel was. I'm getting into the hotel, and I see Todd Gordon. He goes, hey, champ. I go, hey. He goes, hey, my new tag champ. You and Cactus Jack. And I go, oh, you're funny. And the elevator shut. I just thought he was just fucking around because he knew what a market was for Cactus. And, we get to the building, and Cactus is like, okay, Mikey, so when you come out, I go, oh, you too now? I said, you of all people going to fucking rip me? I go, yeah, cool. And then I see Paul. He goes, they're not fucking ripping you. I go, get out of here. He goes, yeah, fuck's not coming. I go, fuck's not coming? He goes, I go, wait a minute. I go, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to take Terry Funk's space. I go, I'm going to get shot. That's funny, but it worked. I mean, you know, I don't think they forgot about Terry Funk, but I don't think they were as mad because I think it was just so ridiculous. I came out with, I think, like a balsa wood board. I hit, like, Grunge or Teddy in the head. This thing, like, exploded. Balsa wood.
Did you ever get to work with Lance when you were in ECW?
Who?
With Lance Storm?
Oh, yeah. Lance was great. He was in the fake clique. Me, Lance, Jerry Lynn, PJ, Spike, we're in the fake clique. Sabu, Van Damme, they were in the real clique. Lance was great. Rob used to have that Pantera song, Walk. Dun, 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 you know, the respect thing.
Yeah.
Well, the three of us, Lance, PJ, and I, we came up with our own lyrics. It was like, dun, 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 dun. Real, dun, 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 dun. Stiff, dun, 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 dun. Chair, dun, 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 dun. Kick in the face, dun, dun. Yeah, it was pretty good. And we sang it every time, like headbanging. And to watch Lance headbang was actually rather entertaining. Jerry looked like a natural. He had that down pretty good, the headbanging. I was okay with it. Lance, I didn't think he would look too cool, but he fit right in. He was in the fake clique. So even if it was bad headbanging, it worked for us.
That's the greatest thing I've heard all
day. Every time, it was so really fucking bizarre. And I don't think it happened with anybody else. Anytime Lance would give me a dropkick, he would kick me. He would throw the dropkick, and somehow he would land on top of me like a moonsault. every fucking time. And I don't know how the fuck it happened. It's weird. He goes, that only happens with you. I said, well, I guess I'm doing something wrong. He goes, oh, it looks good. Said, okay.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Now, you mentioned Jerry. Jerry's supposed to be retiring this year. Do you think he'll actually do it, or do you think he'll keep going on?
Oh, I'm sure he'll do it. How long it'll last, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. Yeah, I mean, I've done it twice.
Now, you haven't mentioned you went to Japan with the jury. What did you actually do on that show?
Wrestling New Classic. What a great company, actually. A lot of young guys and some older guys. But I teamed with Tajiri. We did three shows, I think. We wrestled in Corken Hall, Jado and Gato.
Wow.
And then who did we do? We did some younger guys, Usuke Kodama and Yohei, in, I think, Osaka it was. And then Hiroshima was great. It was Tajiri, Kana, and I. Have you guys heard of Kana?
I have not.
Yeah, she's a female over there, one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Hey, they shit you when they see these Japanese women. They're fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no bullshit. I've seen it. Because it was Tajiri, Kana, and myself against Akira, Finley, and our girl Suri. Siri, S-Y something, Sirius, whatever her name was, Siri, I don't know how to pronounce it, and the match started with Finley and Kana just starting and, like, wrestling. It was fucking ridiculous. He was stretching the shit out of her, and she was coming back. At one point, they were wrestling somehow, he had her on the mat, and she fucking wiggled and squirmed. Somehow, she was up on his leg, Fit was standing, and she was up on his leg, with her head down by his ankle, going up his, or her legs wrapped around his legs, up and, like, through his crotch. I go, what the fuck? He was like a fucking spider monkey. It was fucking crazy. She went back at him. I said, my God, this is fucking Finley. Wrestling with this girl. I mean, actually, like, wrestling. And, you know, she held her own, and she came back, and it was fucking good.
Huh.
Yeah, but Tajiri, they got Wrestling New Classic. If you guys get to check it out, definitely a good group.
What was it like working Jado and Gato at Corken Hall?
Oh, it was great. We did, like, a hardcore match, and it was just it was just easy. It was just fun. People like really easy. And, you know, obviously, oh, Japanese crowds, they're quiet. Not this night, they weren't. We did, like, a hardcore match, and the people were going crazy.
So you worked them before, haven't you?
No.
No.
They came to ECW, but I actually never actually worked them.
Did you ever go up to Japan on any of the trips ECW took over there?
Nope.
Mm.
But yeah, but it was just fucking amazing. Like, I was at the airport. People knew who I was at the airport, which was fucking sickening. Like, this is fucking crazy. and then at the building, I was meeting people at the building, like, after the show. Tajiri had these hats for us, and I lost my hat, and I felt bad that he bought these hats for us to wear. So I was out after the show trying to find it at ringside. Well, people were still in the building. People were, like, shaking and crying that they were meeting me. It was, like, crazy. Like, I'm used to women meeting me and crying and usually running away. I'm used to that. But they were, like, really, like, legitimately, like, thrilled that I was there, like, shaking. I was like, okay, I don't get this. This is really weird because I'm just me, and I really would not want to meet myself. I have to look in the mirror every morning. That's disturbing enough. But nah, it was fucking great. Japan is awesome. Makes you really not want to wrestle in the States. And nothing against the United States. But just the respect and the difference with wrestling over there that is over here now. It's like night and day.
So are you going to get any more shows for the jury?
It's possible. Hopefully, sometime this year. Hopefully, if not.
And any chance that Jerry's going to come back here and work at all?
It's possible. I know we were trying to set something up for September, but it didn't work out with scheduling wise. He's very busy, got a lot of things going on. But if it does work out, because I've gotten emails, people emailing me like crazy, would like to see me and Tajiri together. I've had emails saying, oh, we want to do Mikey Tajiri versus the Young Bucks. You know, Mikey Tajiri with Saban and Shelley. I'm going, wait a minute. Have you seen these guys? I said, okay, Tajiri can hang. I said, what the fuck am I going to do except take up space and get in the way? I said, I'll lay on the floor and catch people.
Tajiri and I will
double team or 10. We'll get the heat on Mikey. We'll beat the shit out of him. Mikey will catch people on the floor. Tajiri will come in, kick people in the head, and then we'll pin Mikey, and everybody will be happy.
But they probably think he can still work like he did in that match with Kidman.
What's that?
They probably think he can still work like he did in that match with Kidman.
I can work like that for about 2 minutes. I can look great for 2 minutes. You get me in there. Whew, bedroom too. 2 minutes, I'm good. And then go out in a blaze of glory.
I would actually like to see you and Tajiri in maybe a future series of a Legends House, if they ever get the network going.
That would be amazing.
My God, can you fucking...
Is it true that Tajiri
and the devil.
Yeah.
Just the three of us.
Yeah.
Bringing super crazy for kicks.
Is it true Tajiri kayfabed the English when he was in ECW?
No, not really.
Not really? I heard, like, the Sandman and, like, guys like that, that he really knew how to speak English, but he just didn't.
But they say that about every Japanese person. Every Japanese person that comes, they go, oh, he's kayfabing. He can speak English. He can speak English. Okay, that's like saying, okay, we're going to go to Japan. We're kayfabing. We can really speak Japanese because we can say, domo and ai.
Right.
The problem is Tajiri, he understands a lot more that he can talk. And even I talk, and going over matches, and I'm pretty tight with him, even going over matches, it's like, okay. He kind of gets it, but trying to explain it, it's better we just, like, do a visual demonstration than him actually trying to speak it. And we can usually figure each other out. I don't know how the fuck it works. It's one of those weird, quirky things. But me and him just click, and that's just weird. But I can tell you for a fact, I speak, like, no Japanese.
When you do go on a tour like that, do they have, like, a translator that follows you guys around, or how do you actually function when you actually can't speak the language?
You're fucked. You are S-O-L. I'm going to say Matsuzawa, he's like the office guy. I coordinate with him through email and stuff, and then one of their students that picked me up at the airport spoke enough English to let me know I had to follow him. And I know now that when you go to your hotel, get the business card of the hotel, because if you get fucking lost, you have no idea how to get back. You can just be sold them the business card. But luckily for me, Finley was there, and he was there enough times, so he kind of knew some of the tricks to get me through. Thank God. Otherwise, I would have sat in my hotel room for like 3 days doing nothing. And the hotel room over there, it's like the size of your bathroom. I shit you not.
Well, Mikey, you've been with us for a very long time, and we really appreciate it. Craig, do you have any last questions you want to ask before we go?
I don't have any more questions. Mikey, you have any shows coming up? Anything you need to plug?
I'm not a big plugger. A long time. I've only been on like 45 minutes. Yeah, Craig, that's a long time. What are you like, Brian, now? You're rushing me off the phone?
No, Ed's...
Mikey,
Ed's
shut up. Mikey, shut up. You've had your hour. No. NYWC, NYWCWrestling.com. We have a show coming up on the 19th, Thursday night, in Deer Park, New York. There's another show, I think, on the 28th in Long Beach, New York. I'm on Twitter, at Mikey Whipwreck. _ between Mikey and Whipwreck. Facebook, do people still use Facebook, I guess? Facebook, Mikey Whipwreck. I'd say MySpace too, but I don't even know what the fuck it is. I couldn't log in if my life depended on it. That's it. I'm not writing a book. I don't have an album coming out. Oh, yeah. you see me writing a book?
Yeah. Well, you get somebody to do it for you.
Oh, I definitely would have read it myself.
You get Brian Alvarez to write it for you.
That's true.
I can't get Brian Alvarez to write me back in an email. I'm going to get him writing a book.
Hey, you're not the only one. Granny's in the same predicament.
Speaking of Nico, he disappears on me all the time. Like he'll disappear. Like he asked me how Japan went. I said, "Oh, it went good. This, and didn't say back. Hey, that's cool. Nothing." He goes, "Oh, I heard Red got a tryout. How'd it go?"
Yeah.
Fuck Red.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Now speaking of Brian and his website, like we were actually just in Vegas having one of his one of the conventions, and we also do WrestleMania. When are we going to get you out to one of the conventions or WrestleMania gatherings?
I tried to go to WrestleMania 2 years ago, and it didn't work. And then I was going to go last year. It didn't work. But this year, next year?
Yeah.
The next one. We'll say next. Next year, it's in New Jersey, which is only 2 hours from my house. So I think I can make that one.
Now, who would you be more excited to meet, Brian, Vinny, or Granny?
Who?
Brian, Vinny, or Granny?
We could take Brian. We can take Brian out of the equation. We take him out of there. Okay, probably between Vinny and Granny. I'd say probably Granny. Granny kicks ass.
Yeah.
I should have said, but I know Granny's not a big fan of the cursing, but Granny's awesome. I hear her on there. I go, no, she's like the best thing in the Brian and Vinny show. No offense, Brian and Vinny, but, you know, Brian and Vinny will know why. You add Granny in there, you're talking sellout. I would like to do a live Q&A with Granny. Mikey interviewing Granny through her life. Granny, this is your life, hosted by me.
That'd be pretty awesome. She was just in Vegas with us, and at one of the gatherings we had, I asked her if she wanted me to make her a drink, and she snatched a bottle of vodka out of my hands and made her own.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Awesome.
If you could do it dressed up like Elvis, that would be great.
I would interview her dressed like Elvis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
We need to book this. We can make it a special DVD release. I'll just interview Granny throughout her life. It'll be like Granny's autobiography. Gladys Gibson. We just write straight through, and I would just ask her questions about her childhood, school days, high school, being a mom in the great Northwest. That'd be great. We need to book this. We definitely need to book this. God, I am pathetic.
Well, Mikey, it's been a pleasure. We really, really do appreciate you coming on with us tonight, and hopefully we can get you back in the future, and we'll definitely ask you before Brian Alvarez does.
I don't know. Now it's like a challenge. Now Brian won't ask me just because.
Right.
No, guys, it was fun. I was sitting here looking forward to it all week and going, this should be fun.
Cool, man.
This is what I can curse.
I think you hit the 75 mark.
You think?
And possibly. Like I said, my clicker broke.
Somebody, you guys have a message board, right? You guys follow? Somebody do a tally and post it, and somebody let me know how many fucks I had.
I'll put that on the message board right now.
Sweet.
Awesome,
fucking
man.
Fucking A.
There's another one.
All right, guys, I'm going to go fuck myself.
No, it's good for you.
As the devil would say, enjoy and may all your stains be large ones.
Crying out loud. Oh, I love that, dude.
Okay, go.
Yeah. So are you kicking Contreras and I off the show now, or what's going on here?
The Granny shoot is right. The next server shoot. Fuck Boss Rush.
They can't say he's mentioning that they're going to do shoots here and there, but it's been like forever, so it's like maybe Granny might be the best choice for one.
Yeah, she's local.
I've never heard that story about the real stiff. I've never heard that story before. and he's been on the shows many times.
Right. Well, maybe you just weren't paying attention.
What story was that?
The
one that we're talking about, him and Lance doing the Pantera.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard that one.
I've never heard that.
I know. You know, as much as Lance comes out on these radio shows, there's always new stuff that pops up. Like, we definitely got to bring that up to him the next time he's on. Because I can't see Lance singing Pantera. I just can't see it.
I would love to see it, but I can't imagine it.
But I guess I can keep you guys on until my other co-host decides to call in. I hope I gave him the right call-in number.
You calling from Guatemala?
No, he's in town. He's actually driving up to Iowa to that Kurt Angle thing, or it was supposed to be the Kurt Angle thing until Kurt Angle decided he wasn't going to it.
Oh, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, really? JBL's going to be there or something like that. A bunch of other people.
Well, I guess that would be cool. But, yeah, they're going for Kurt Angle, and then Kurt Angle pulls out. I'd be kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck driving to Iowa.
Yeah, because it's in Iowa.
Cool. Hey, Greg, can you do me a favor? Can you do the plugs for Angry Marks while I try and text this fool?
Sure. I've never done this before. Everybody check out angrymarks.com. You can hear our show there and many others, and give Stevie J a little love. And I think that's the only thing that we need plugged, right? You can check out Ed's Facebook page. He's got many pictures from his last weekend. Those are comical, to say the least. And if you're a wrestling fan, you can probably quit listening to the show right now. And if you love debauchery, stay tuned for the next hour, because Peach will be on here along with Ed in San Antonio, and they will be going down the list of the Vegas weekend.
Hopefully your little buddy will call in too. And speaking of which, the last time he was supposed to be on the show, he totally blamed you for his lack of his appearance on the show.
Oh, I know. And I didn't bring it up. I just, I don't know, man, I have a strange relationship with that man right now. I wouldn't call it, I don't know what I'd call it. I let him do his thing, and I haven't heard from the kid in probably 2 months, but I know I'm going to get a text tomorrow saying, "Hey, what time am I going to be at your house for the pay-per-view?" So, I don't want to bug him because he's busy.
Okay. Well, actually, the other jerk off finally decided to call in. So you got any closing words you want to say before you go, Craig?
No, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And like I said, if you're a wrestling fan, you can quit listening now. If you're into debauchery, keep listening.
All right. Hey, Couture, you got any last words or you want to stick around? It's up to you.
No, I'm going to leave. See Kyle.
See Kyle. Fucking racist bastard, but I'm sure my other co-hosts like them. So, is up, faggot? How are you doing? How's the drive to Iowa?
Oh, fuck off. Fuck you, you fat-ass loser. Is your voice still gone?
It's getting a little better.
Doesn't sound great. Who we got on the line?
Right now, it's just me and you.
Oh, why'd you kick off the hicket?
Oh, well, the wrestling portion of the show is over. Mikey Whipwreck could still be on the third line. He might have not hung up, and he might just be listening to us. But as far as I know, for right now, it's just me and you.
Well, I'm sure Mikey Whipwreck has had an ass full of you and decided he was long gone.
Let me give you a little quick summary
about what has gone on in the last 24 hours with myself. I am not in Iowa. I read on the F4W online site that Kurt Angle would not be in attendance at the Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Dan Gable Museum, and he was not going to be attending his own induction. And so I talked to my buddy who I was going with, who I had not seen in a long time, and we decided, well, we're not fucking driving 6 hours just to go see JDL. So we are not in Iowa. I'm still in St. Louis, and I'm rather disappointed. I had to cancel my hotel and my rental car and get a refund on my tickets, and I'm rather disappointed in my Olympic hero, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up that he doesn't go, but at least you found out. At least you have prior warning, because that really would have sucked if you would have drove and then be like, where's Kurt? And they'd be like, Kurt didn't come.
I'd have been mad. And to be honest, you know, there was a few other guys I didn't really give a shit about seeing, like Dan Severn, you know, JBL, I do not give a fuck about. I would love to see the Dan Gable Hall of Fame or the George Tragos Lufez, I can't remember, Hall of Fame, or the museum. At some point in my life, I will make it up there, but I did not make it this weekend, and so I am on the line with you, and we're going to talk some Vegas stories, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll talk some Vegas, and we'll also talk about, apparently you just have the shittiest luck with fucking air travel going to and from Vegas, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I've taken, I think, 6 flights since I left Guam, you know, counting all legs of each flight, and they've all been on United, and I am at 100% delay. Every single flight has been delayed, and it's just been an ass-raping. So fuck United. So what happened was I got out of Vegas. Hey, what's going on, girls? You guys coming over? Is that the deal? All right, you got some beer. Good. The back is locked. Oh, all right. So I left my hotel at 9 for my 11 a.m. flight, make it through no problem. We actually get back. I get on the plane. We push away, and then we turn right back around, and they tell us there's a mechanical issue. It's not going to happen. So I spend the rest of the day trying to get on a Southwest flight back to St. Louis, and I got back in at a little after midnight. And I saw Senior Highline, who was also taking a flight to Jacksonville via Southwest, and I'm sure he made it home to the East Coast in about 3 hours quicker than I did. So it was no fun. How was your flight?
What time did you leave the airport that day?
It was supposed to be a 6 o'clock flight, I think, and the pilots were not there. They were like, oh, I'm sorry, we'd like to inform our patrons. We cannot load this plane yet. We are still waiting for the pilots. They are late. And I don't know if that meant they overslept or they got in a car accident or their flight hadn't came in. But they were late, and so we didn't push off till like 6:45. And so that was just another great little blip on the radar.
You just left right before we did. Shit. But I had a little problems too. It wasn't actually because of like being late or anything, but my mom's giving me a ride to the airport Thursday morning, and basically the plan is I'm not checking my bags. I'm going straight out. I'm going to get picked right away by Scott and Rodney. Anyway, so I'm on my way to the airport, and my phone just freezes. It just like froze on the screen. So I'm like, what the fuck? So okay, I just fucking take the battery out, let it reload. Right, take the battery out. And it gives you, like, this one screen before it reloads, and it never left that screen. So I'm getting to the airport, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I keep taking my battery out. I keep pushing every goddamn button, and it just won't fucking work. It won't fucking load. And the whole fucking, I get on the plane the whole time, I'm like, goddammit, how the fuck am I going to get a hold of Rodney and Scott, who are going to be waiting for me to go? And I'm like, fuck. So the whole plane, it wouldn't load, and at the same time, I'm wasting juice. So I get to Vegas, and I'm like, okay, well, I got my laptop. Let me get on the board. I'll tell somebody to text Rodney or Scott. So I did that. Luckily, Sizewhite told them that I was waiting, so they called. So anyway, so I go outside to wait for them, and what do you know? My phone fucking loads. So I'm like, okay, cool, finally. It's got very little juice, but it's like, fuck, I can call. So I call, and then I get the recording. Please do not hang up, because apparently I thought I could hold off on paying bill a week so I could have a little more spending money, but apparently Verizon turned off my phone mid-flight.
That's
so
all.
Luckily I could receive calls, so luckily they called me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm right here. Come get me. So luckily they got me. And then by that point, my phone had totally died. And my phone is funny. When it totally dies, it doesn't want to recharge. It's, like, almost impossible. So for, like, the first day, I had almost no phone. And I had people I had to contact. I had a drug deal I had to make. You know, like, you know, it's just, I'm, like, tripping out, you know. And but luckily, you know, and that's not even aware. And I get to fucking, we get to the place, and we actually went to this buffet. The buffet was actually pretty badass. I recommend that anyone goes to Vegas, go to the Wicked Spoon Buffet. This place was fucking awesome. And I actually got to have multiple plates, because I'm the type of person that when I go to a buffet, I load down my first plate. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean you're a fat person?
Yeah, I make a tower of food on one plate, and then that's pretty much it kills me. You know, that's pretty much all I eat for the whole buffet. So this place, they had like all the sides were actually like pre-proportioned. So you just grab like a little cup or whatever.
Ah.
So I had about four plates. And then I went and hit the desserts, and then I had about three or four gelatos. So I tore the buffet up.
To top off your week of debauchery, you packed on a good 4,000 calories before you got out of Vegas.
Right, before you even started. As soon as I got there, I started with about 5,000 calories.
Oh, good God, Ed.
But then after that, we went and played the Kiss Mini Golf, which was actually pretty cool. But it was kind of weird because it was actually in this small-ass building. And it was real, real cramped, but it was actually pretty cool. And it's all, like, fluorescent and everything. And
well, let's move on from our traveling woes.
Well, anyway, I haven't got to the rest of my woes. Anyway, after the golf, I go back to Excalibur. I go, yes, I'd like to check in. And they're like, sir, we have no reservation for you.
So okay.
I'm like, excuse me? They're like, well, sir, we have no reservation for you. Your name is not coming up. I'm like, well, I booked it on your website, you know, so and so. And they're like, well, sir, we don't have it. You know, you're going to have to, like, check your emails and or something. So I'm like, now I'm really freaking out because my phone's fucking just about dead. And they're telling me I ain't got no goddamn room I paid $100 for. So luckily I go to Scott's room where I had dumped myself off before. And check, like, all my emails, didn't find anything, so I guess apparently I don't know what the fuck happened. But thank God for Scott having a room there, so he actually let me crash with him, so we were actually neighbors for the night. But
Thursday night.
Yeah, that was Thursday. Thursday during the day, so actually my Vegas trip starting off was, like, starting off really shitty and with a lot of bad luck, and I was not having a good feel for this trip at first because just everything was fucking going wrong. I mean, had Scott not been staying there, I would have had to chill out another $100 for a room after I just paid $150 to get my phone turned back on, you know?
Right.
It was kind of sucked. But luckily, shit got taken care of, and shit, you know, after that, everything was on. I made my little drug deal, got my weed.
Yeah.
And everything was cool.
Nice. Well,
now,
I also got it incredibly late, spent 6 hours in Denver, and then got to our hotel room and finally got to sleep around 1 a.m., but I had been cutting weight all day, and when I got up and I finally made it to the Grappler's Quest, I realized I was about 6 pounds lighter than I needed to be, so I had overdone it and tried to refuel right away. And I would blame my lack of sleep, my long travel time, and my massive weight cut on my silver medal. But you wouldn't know because you didn't fucking go to the UFC convention.
The UFC convention or the UFC expo?
The expo. Convention expo.
I've seen a couple pictures of you, and you were looking very, very gay, even more gay than normal. So how do I know I even missed some grappling matches? I'm pretty sure you just emailed me recently.
What photos could you possibly have seen?
Some photos of you in some gay shorts.
Yeah, they're called tights. They're called the same shit GSP wears, son. Who took photos? Nobody took any photos.
I think Dazza posted it. Yeah, it was Dazza that posted a few of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I didn't see them. Well, you know what? That's what you wear when you compete. You wear spandex. Because you don't want it. Because I'll tell you what, the first guy.
You just have like a solid color, like black. You know, had to have fucking like yellow and gay colors.
Did you see what Rich Franklin had on when he just beat the shit out of Wanderlei Silva? Pink. Pink, brother. And they were tight. Pink and black. Split. Mine are gold and black.
Now, before you got to town, can we talk about your friend Mr. Meeks or whatever the fuck his name is?
Oliver Meeks.
Yeah.
The guy who
apparently looks nothing like he looked like a few months ago.
He looks nothing like he looked 2 months ago?
Well, that's what I read in the Observer.
You read that in the Observer?
I read that he looked unrecognizable is what I read.
Well, here's the thing with that. I don't think it's that he looked unrecognizable. I think it's that neither of them were paying attention to each other when we had dinner. Both of them were on their phones, not paying attention, and didn't really care. And Mr. Meats had not shaved, had a bit of a beard and a hat, and just not wearing his wrestling attire, so I don't think it was unrecognizable. He's, you know, when you're in rehab for your broken foot, you don't spend a lot of time suntanning and, you know, lifting weights. So, you know, I wouldn't say he's got a new look. And I think that's far more played up. I feel like if I just would have said, hey, Dave, this is Matt, he would have said, oh, hey, nice to meet you.
He was talking smack about Dave the night before.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't talking smack about Dave.
I think the quote was, I'll have lunch with Dave if he sucks my dick or something.
I think you may have made that up. I don't know, but you would know I wasn't there because I was in the air flying in. But, yeah.
He did. I've been wanting to ask him this question. I actually found out about this after he had been on the show a few times, and that was about the supposed abuse of the Dragon's Gate monkey. So I asked him, so tell me, did you ever abuse that monkey? And he just pauses and looks at me for like a few seconds, and he just fucking screams out, fuck that monkey.
Maybe that monkey deserved it, whatever it got.
Yeah, he just went off. He cut a 20-minute promo on that monkey.
Well, yeah, I don't know anything about this. About that, but, well, you know, I was just hoping for Dave to report on my fucking incredible punching power I displayed at Dick's Last Resort when I punched a 944 out of 1,000 on that single punch game, and I dominated everybody in the bar.
You just like, yeah, I almost threw my elbow out when I hit it, or else I would have beat you.
You got no technique, buddy, no technique. You got to come straight over the top.
All I know is I was in serious pain after I hit that fucking thing.
Hey, because you're an incredible pussy.
You know, whatever.
And
well,
I did find it hilarious, but what?
At least I didn't have my girlfriend, like Vinny, actually hit exactly double what he did.
Well, to be fair, Vinny was, about half there. So had he been in his full wits, I don't think he would have punched as low.
Yeah, but getting back to the Friday night, it was actually pretty cool because we went to this show. It was one of those Cirque du Soleil shows, you know, the one at the MGM, and it was kind of like, yeah, Ka, and it was very different than like the one we saw last year was Love, which is basically, you know, the main part of it's the Beatles music, and then they do like some of the shit, but this one was like more like action packed, and.
Right.
Apparently, you probably would have liked it since you're doing the grappling thing, because apparently Brian's favorite part of the whole show was when there's a guy in a starfish costume, and they're kind of like doing the fight, and he pulled guard, and apparently that was like the greatest part of the show for Brian, because the starfish he popped on the guard of the starfish.
Well, I could have used you in my corner, because the last match I had was against a near 300-pound heavyweight, and I needed somebody to quick try a technique on, and your fat ass would have been the only one that would have been close. I also could have used Brian in my corner to give me a little advice, you know, as something useful.
But, why do you pick these cornermen that have no knowledge of grappling whatsoever? Like, first you have Roderick, who, I'm sure Roderick's a tough dude, but let's be honest, he doesn't know anything about grappling.
I didn't need you
he
to give me advice. I needed to attempt something on you before I got on the mat. I needed to try a specific takedown maneuver that I could use on the guy that I was about to wrestle.
Hey, we're actually getting a call, Pete, so let me go ahead and take the call here.
Okay.
Caller calling from area code 425. Who is this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi,
welcome to the DrunkCast. Oh, hey!
Hey!
Hey, you're talking to Ed from Fat Antonio and Mr. 944.
Ah, I see. Is Craig also on the show?
No,
oh, Craig's
at church.
Yeah, Craig's retired for the night. He was only doing the first part of the show.
Ah, okay.
We were talking about
two risque topics
for Craig. He gets embarrassed.
Wait a minute. So not only does he not go to Vegas, but he can't even talk about Vegas?
This is against his religion or something.
Okay.
So,
hey,
how you doing tonight, Whitney?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm just still trying to recover my voice from Vegas. I left it somewhere in Vegas on the strip somewhere.
Yeah.
What could Ed have possibly said to motivate you to actually call in?
Who's that bothering? I got a couple of messages on Facebook. Call me. Call me. Call in now.
Oh, he was bothering you with messages? Oh, I don't believe that. No way does that do
no.
that.
No. I'm happy to talk to you, Ed. I'm glad that I'm on your show.
Cool. Cool. I think
well, when I'm on the show,
turn,
it's pretty much me.
Show.
It's what?
Ed,
I said your first appearance on the podcast was actually on my show. But a couple of years ago after the wedding.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
So
what? Go ahead.
What are you guys talking about? You're talking about the trip in general? You're talking about your highlights of the trip?
We were just talking about the Grappler's Quest and how he failed to show up and support me. But you were there in my corner, you know,
that's
keeping
right.
me warm, you know, you'd let me drill a little bit and give me some support, not Ed. You know, he was busy buying a hooker, probably.
I was busy getting kicked out of a casino downtown with Barb and her kid.
What did you possibly do to get kicked out of a casino? Did you fall asleep?
No, we were letting them sit down next to the slot while she played it so he could, like pretend like he was playing it. And they let us play for about 5 minutes, and then they said, get the hell out of here.
Wait, how do you pretend to play?
Well, she was sitting down and she pushed the buttons for him.
Oh, I
see.
Yeah. So after about 30 seconds, we had one security guard behind us on a walkie-talkie, and then after another minute, there was a second one, and I was like, I think we need to go. And she's like, well, we'll just wait till they tell us. And I was like, okay. Then they told us very sternly to get out or be fined. So we got out.
Whitney, give us an update. Give us an update on Brian's purse.
Okay, so this morning he, like, just, I thought he was sleeping. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, my God, they found my purse. He's checking his phone and he, I guess, emailed or something. And so his purse has been found. It is somewhere around SeaTac, and they're going to FedEx it.
This is somewhere around what?
Around the airport. I think he left it on the plane, like on his seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he was too busy asking me if I had all my stuff, and so he left his stuff on the plane.
Oh. Yeah, that is...
Doesn't it embarrass you that now that every single person on the website knows that your husband, your man, has a fucking purse?
Thank you.
He's
okay.
Proud of his purse. You
there with no shoes on, dude? He's proud of
his
purse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, you mean your man bag? People want to just make sure that I didn't, you know, wasn't just offend him. And he said, oh, no,
well,
it's not a man bag. It's a purse.
I take plenty of shit for my old lady coin purse wallet that I carry around that's bright red. And the only reason I do it is so that it's big enough that I won't lose it and bright enough so that I can see it when I toss it on the floor.
Yeah, that is genius. He just
went
with black, and I think it probably blends in too much. It's like, I swear to God, and Rodney will back me up. When we, Rodney came with Highlight to pick us up with our bags to go to Chin Chin, and then we're going to go to the airport. And he left his purse sitting on the counter in the lobby. And I had to, like, go back and get it. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you left your purse here. How could you do that? He's had it for so long, and everything's in there. Like, his keys, his wallet. We have checks and stuff in there. And then, sure enough, later that night, he left it on the plane. But it's back. So, how's
that? Well,
that has
got to be a sigh of relief.
Oh, yeah. Now he wants to put a strap on it so that he doesn't lose it, so he can, like, carry it around his arm or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Go to the art and craft store, buy a big roll of pink electrical duct tape. It's about $4, and then wrap that bitch up in neon pink. That's what I do to my wallet, to my phone, to anything I don't want to lose. My keys.
Good idea. I once, my sister had a boyfriend who was a bit weird, and he would make purses out of duct tape.
Ew.
And so he made one that says, I tap boys on it, that was hot pink and black. And I just dig that thing up and make Brian wear that.
Anything in pink.
Hey, guys, I noticed we have another call on the line, so I'm going to put him on here for a couple minutes. Caller calling from area code 204. Who's this?
Hi, Ed. This is Barty Boy from Canada.
Hey, what's going on, Barty Boy? How you doing?
Not too bad.
Didn't do anything in the night.
Yeah, I'm looking into sending pizza package there, but that depends if it's legal or not first.
Oh, well, that would be very much appreciated, and it's very much legal, so shoot me that email and we'll talk.
Okay, sounds good. Anyway, what have you guys been talking about so far?
Oh, we've just been talking mainly about with Brian's man purse with Whitney.
Oh, yeah, I remember him saying he lost the man purse, I believe.
Yes, but he did find it, so
that's good.
Catastrophe's over.
Okay. Did everyone talk about the sweet party yet? Or?
Well, we've not gotten there. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Basically on the adventures of Mr. Dunbeck and Nurse Whitney.
I missed all this. Whit, I didn't hear. What were you doing? Were you just keeping them hydrated and alert? Or is that your sort of your thing, is you keep people who are hammered in Vegas, from getting advantage taken of them?
Yes, that seems to be my role in the whole party. But it's actually 2 years ago that I think I first met you and Kendra that
mm-hmm.
happened at the sweet party. And he was really drunk, and everyone was gone, and they'd all gone to do other things. And so I was just trying to, put him, there was, a few bedrooms. I was trying to, put him in a bed and, feed him water and just, get him to stay in one place. And he would keep on, getting out of bed and, falling down and have to, go back and put him back in. And so that was 2 years ago. And this year it was a repeat event. And he's just really funny. He starts drinking a lot. And next thing you know, he's too drunk. And I did my best to feed him chips and water and whatever. So.
Yeah, I think he pretty much went from zero to fucked in 60 seconds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What was funny is when we left the suite, we actually we stopped at a CVC to get some booze and some mixes and everything. And he's standing there with three bottles in his hands, and I'm like, Dumbek, don't you get drunk after one beer? And he's like, yeah, but I think I'm going to buy all these. And I was like, okay, your funeral. And
wait, you took them outside after I left?
No, it was before we got to the suite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had stuff to buy the booze, and he bought like half the booze that was there at the suite himself, pretty much. And by the time after you had left, he couldn't even walk. He had to crawl everywhere. And then luckily, he passed out for like a couple hours before we finally were able to get him out of the suite.
Yeah. Then he was. I think Don from California's problem.
Yeah. But had you stayed with me, you would have had to take care of our Dumbbeck. You would have had to take care of Junior Horseman. You would have had to take care of Sideswipe. You would have had to take care of Ricky. And you would have had to take care of Barbara, because by the end of the night, at some point or another, they were all out.
Oh, boy. Well, I do it because, like, you know, I just obviously feel bad for people. I try to just help them out. But it's just like it's building up good karma, because every once in a while you'll have a night like that and you're just always thankful that someone else is helping you, you know?
Yeah, not trying to, like, shave off your eyebrows or anything like that.
Yeah, or you could just draw a bunch of cocks on their forehead with a magic marker.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, Whitney, can you talk about the mini golf? Because, you know, most guys, you know, they'll usually be cool and they'll let their girlfriends win, but apparently your husband was determined to destroy you at this game.
Yeah, well, he's really competitive. I'm pretty competitive too, but he hates golf, first of all. He hates golf, you know, and the whole sport. I didn't even call it a sport. But he likes to go mini golfing because he thinks he's great at it. And we went with our friend George like a year ago, and he claims to have beaten George, and George claims to have won, and back and forth, and then he's just trying to take it out on me. But anyway, it was really fun.
I just remembered you got a hole in one, and I was like, all right, you're going to kick Brian's ass, and then... It seemed like you got like four more after that.
No, I'm on the air.
Yeah, no, you're on the air and we can hear you, dude. Put the phone away from your mouth.
That was Whitney.
Me?
That's you.
No.
But anyway, back to the miniature golf. Well, actually, let's talk about Ka. How did you enjoy Ka?
I liked that. It was actually my second time seeing Ka. It's the stage is like the coolest part of the whole thing. So it like lifts up and it rotates and it's like super high and they do crazy stunts. And then the next night I saw Beatles again with Bridget, and she hadn't seen that one. So Beatles is probably my favorite, but Ka is still pretty cool. It has cool like special effects or whatever you want to call it that. What do you think?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. What did you think of the show, Barty Boy?
I thought it was great, actually. Pretty impressed, as Whitney said there, the stage and everything was just, you know, just how they were able to turn it like, you know, 180 degrees, you know, standing straight up. And it wasn't a small stage, it was a huge stage too. So, you know, that was quite impressive.
Cool. Now, one thing we should talk about, the dinner, because the dinner, I thought the dinner was great, but the dinner was actually kind of emotional, and I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about that, Whitney.
Yeah, it was really touching. I don't go on the board, and I didn't know Rami or anything like that, and then I just kind of heard stories through Brian, and it was really nice that they came, his family came, and obviously the board has made a big impact on his sister's life, and it's kind of cool to see, you know, something that Brian created, and it's so weird how things affect people, and so it was nice. It was nice that they came, and I sure would not have wanted to follow up her speech like you had to do, so.
Well, to give everyone who doesn't know, basically what happened is there was a member of the F4W website who last year became very ill, and unfortunately he ended up passing away. And while he was ill, his sister was nice enough to come on the board and keep us updated on his progress. And like the board, you know, a lot of people sent a lot of like emails and letters, and then when it looked like it was going to be kind of dire, you know, the board raised about $5,000 and actually pretty much paid for his funeral and basically everything revolving that. And we tried to get them to come to Vegas last year, but it was just so last minute because it was basically weeks before the trip that this happened. and they weren't able to. So this year, you know, we actually had them come in. It was his sister and his dad and two other people. And I can't remember their names. They actually, you know, they basically, Sir Highline wanted me to do like a little contest to find some tickets under the under your seats. And whoever, like, had the card to win. So I did that, and then I introduced her. And I didn't have any idea of what was going to happen, but all I know, it was just almost impossible to stand there without having tears in my eyes as she gave this speech, and then to try and kind of, like, lighten up the atmosphere after. And it was actually incredible. It's just a shame that, you know, it wasn't recorded or taped so that the other members who, you know, pitched in or contributed were, you know, able to hear this, because it was really something else. I mean, she did a phenomenal job with the speech. I mean, every single day, Bryant, it seemed like everybody was almost on the verge of crying when this was going on.
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine came with me this year who's not a board member, and he listened to the speech, and he said he was moved as well.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional. Barty Boy, we're actually trying to get more callers on the line. Did you have any parting words you want to give?
Thanks for another awesome Vegas trip. And anybody's listening who's never gone, get your ass to Vegas next year. You won't regret it.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling in, Barty Boy.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Whitney. All right.
Okay, and now we're getting another caller from area code... 206, who's this?
No.
Okay. Hello, caller calling from area code 206, who's this?
Oh, this is Tammy. I live in area code 206. Is this Ed?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed. I'm that hooker that you bought. Remember me? I'm Asian and I have a huge ass.
Yeah.
You owe me $75.
Sure.
Do you want to do a reverse blow bang?
Did you call up from a different phone or something?
No. You're just an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
So, Whitney, leave?
No, I'm here.
Oh. Whitney's on. We're trying to figure out who's on, who called from area code 206.
Oh, not me. I'm still on the same line.
Oh.
Whitney, do you know what a reverse blowbang is?
I don't want to know.
Well,
I'm happy not asking questions.
Ed made it up. It's very dirty.
I did not make it up.
It's when a daddy and four mommies all decide to make love in a similar room. Never mind. I won't go into it.
Actually, I'm thinking
something that you guys talk about a lot.
I try to bring it up at least every time I'm on the air.
That's why I don't have them on very often. But I'm figuring the caller who won't answer us is either Brian or Junior Horseman.
Just hang up on
him.
Who cares? Did you actually put me on already, Ed?
What?
Did you add me already? I hadn't even pressed the button to be added.
Oh, well, yeah, we added you like 3 minutes ago.
I thought it was going to hang. No, I heard you. Don't worry.
Oh. So what's going on, Horseman? What's happening?
Not much. I'm still pretty much at the end of my recovery process, I think.
Cool. Well, we got you, Pete, and Whitney on the line, so...
Yeah, I got a few minutes to listen in before I jumped into the fray.
Cool.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing pretty good. What do you want to talk about from the trip?
Oh, geez, I don't think there's enough time to try and sit and break it all down. It was the whole week, I guess. It was more of a just the cumulative experience was better than any one specific part. This was probably, it felt like the most mellow of the four conventions that I've been to, just in terms of, you got to hang out with everybody, but things weren't too hectic most of the time. Everybody was pretty much chilled and just
go wherever people wanted to go and do whatever the hell we decided to do.
But I was actually very worried about this trip because it was like we lost so many people who were like, you know, people who are good at, you know, entertaining everybody, like Bluefish and Audrey or Jakey. So I was very worried that, you know, how fun the group would be on this trip. But I got to say I was pleasantly surprised that everything turned out all right. Everyone was pretty cool.
And based on
the
reactions that I've gained so far, I think we probably made most of those people jealous that they missed out this year because Bluefist has openly told me he's there's no way he's not making it next year after all the, you know, details he had to hear from me and the pictures that he saw so far.
Hello?
Peach, what are you listening about?
I'm not doing shit, man. I'm sitting here being quiet. I'm being good. I don't
it's
even talk about reverse
Brian.
Oh,
Ed. It's the Seattle trio.
Oh, you guys are just
Edward,
passing fun around?
Edward. Edward.
Yes.
It's me. It's Brian.
Oh, hey, what's up, Brian?
What's going on? How many people are on the line right now?
Right now, it's me, you, Peach, and the Horseman.
Oh, that's not too bad. Where's Craig?
Craig bowed out after the wrestling talk.
Ah, he had enough of this hijinks.
Yeah, he was kind of
that's
complaining
right.
that he hasn't heard from you in a while, but he was expecting to hear from you tomorrow. About the...
Yeah, that about covers it.
Yeah, but we actually spent about a good 10 minutes talking about your purse. So I hear you got some good news and you found your purse.
That's right, my purse has been returned.
Now, are all the things accounted for that were in it?
I believe so. I have not actually seen the purse yet. They are charging me $20 to FedEx it back. But the lady that called said that everything appeared to be in it.
I'm like, you know.
If you're going to FedEx it back, where did it go?
It's coming back here, so hopefully it doesn't get lost in the mail.
But is it still in Seattle, or did the plane take off and go somewhere else and they found it?
I don't know. They just they called me from a number and said, we've got it here. You can't come get it, but we'll mail it to you. They just wanted my $20, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Peach, I'm eating almonds right now.
Hey, attaboy. I am too.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start back after this weekend.
Yeah, what about you, Matt? Are you eating almonds?
Oh, he's eating everything.
I got sick of
them. Mm-mm.
Well, Brian, we were actually, for a little while, we were talking about the mini golf, and I think, did you win the mini golf, or did...
I don't know. Nobody ever told me.
They never did say who had the lowest score. They only pointed out who had the worst score.
Here's what I can tell you. I pretty much knew during the golf game that Anchor was going to have the worst score because I was golfing with him. He was the absolute worst mini golfer I've ever seen in my life. So every time he swung, didn't matter if the hole was a mile away or a centimeter away, he swung that club like it was nobody's business. So he had a bunch of fives, which is the limit. He'd had like 30s if they didn't cut you off at 5. So he had a whole bunch of 5s, and myself, meanwhile, had 4 hole-in-1. 4! So I thought, well, for sure I beat Anchor, obviously. And Whitney was trying to claim that she beat me. And I'll admit that she beat me at the air hockey, but she had a bunch of 5s golfing as well, and I had 0. Okay, she says she had 2. But even if she had 2, I had none and had 4 holes in 1. So there's no way that she beat me at the golf. But when it was over, I said, well, who won? And they said, well, we're going to tally them all up and we're going to make the announcements at the thing, so we're not going to tell you right now. So I was like, all right. So I waited for the dinner, and they announced that Anchor did, in fact, have the worst score of anybody in the history of golf. But then they didn't announce anything else. And I don't think anybody saved all of the sheets. And all I know is that somebody told me, Brian, you barely beat Anchor. And I was like, wait a second.
Sounds like a work, brother.
Exactly. And you know who was adding the scores up was Anchor. So I think, like, I don't know what happened, but I blame
Anchor.
Maybe
he was confused with the rules. Maybe he was unsure. He thought maybe that.
Well, I mean, he obviously had put a low score for himself. But apparently he put, like, a low score for everybody else as well. Or maybe he put my score in somebody else's column, or I don't know what it was. But I like to think that I beat everybody in mini golf. If nothing else, I beat everybody on my team.
Now, speaking of Anchor, did you notice that he was pretty much following you around the whole weekend?
No, I was completely unaware of that, Ed.
He almost looked like he was your shadow, especially, like, even at the dinner on the line of the buffet.
Yeah, we had ice cream together. You got a problem with that?
No, not really.
Good.
Maybe next year you'll have your shadows wouldn't balance out very evenly there.
Maybe next year you can buy me some ice cream.
You should buy me some ice cream, Brian. I paid for your trip for 2 years.
I'll buy Horseman some ice cream, and I'll buy Peach some ice cream. But Ed, we're gonna have to talk.
Did you ever buy a shirt, Brian? You would really look good with a shirt that says Ed and San Antonio on it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Ed, I'm giving the phone back to Whit here real quick because I got to get ready to go do some jits. And she does as well, but hold on. I'll give you to her for a second.
Hello.
Hey, Whitney. So, Brian's already big-timing us and leaving the show.
Joe Jacobson. I'm Buttle.
He's sticking you back on.
That's the name
of your body. So, Woody, what did you think about the... Well, actually, what did you do Saturday while we were all at the fight?
Saturday, we went to the pool in the morning, and then we went to Buca de Beppo at Excalibur, and then...
That wasn't a word.
What?
Buca de Beppo? That's not a real thing.
Yeah, it was delicious. And then Bridget and I took the monorail up to the Mirage and went to the Beatles show and then came back to Dick's.
Oh, okay.
We had a great time.
Cool.
I figured of Brittany, Bridget, I still have not heard from her.
Really? I know she's been really busy. She, like...
Okay.
In the summer, she works at the pool. She's like an aquatics director, and so she works like something like 80 hours a week in the summer. Like, it's insane.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But okay, we'll go ahead and let you go since it seems like you guys got to get ready for your show. Do you have any other memories that you want to talk about or anything you'd like to tell the audience about maybe coming next year?
For my right to party?
No, just,
all right.
You could do is use this time to promote somebody else to come and be Redunbeck's handler next year.
There you go.
This is just good radio right here.
Well, you won't shut up.
Shut up. I'm the only one keeping this thing afloat.
You're the one that's screwing up the whole show, dude, like always.
Well, you call me all every fucking...
What was your favorite part, Ed?
My favorite part was...
No grappling cooperative.
Was I really can't talk about the part that I enjoyed the most. But actually, I enjoyed the sweet party and hanging out and getting to talk to everybody. That was pretty cool.
Didn't know
like,
half of the
there was so many people in there that were going to get kicked out for sure.
All right. And Pete, what was your favorite part?
I don't know. I would have to say rooming with Rodney.
Oh!
Because
that's awesome.
I finally got to see him shirtless, and I'd roomed with him about 3 or 4 times in the past, and he's like a myth to me because like the bed and the bathroom and everything is like always so pristine and like it's like he doesn't use it and like I was like, man, this guy must just like warp to another bathroom because all I ever see is my shit everywhere and I'm like, my God, I think Rodney just must like be like a camel and like doesn't go to the bathroom ever. But finally, I saw him take a shower and I saw him take his shirt off and so you know
That got
that
me
was your favorite
hard.
Part of Vegas was seeing Rodney topless.
Well, I saw Ed topless before, so, you know. I didn't even get to go to strip club, so I just got to see my roommates topless. I'm playing a video game right now, and it gives me the sillies, and when that occurs, it's just downhill for everyone involved in my life. I'm not drunk or anything. But, hey, Whit, what are we going to do in when I come up there?
We're going to do a lot. We got to go drink a lot of wine.
Are you taking him on the duck?
No.
Okay.
Well, we refuse to go
the
on the duck.
No.
We might
go
catch
to,
a baseball game.
Yeah, I want to go to the baseball game. I think it'd be really fun. I'm getting closer with Brian to get him
okay,
to go.
Good. If it'll entice him anymore, tell him I'll show him a photo of Rodney shirtless.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah, so he's trying to steal his purse.
Yeah, he'll bring his purse for sure.
We're gonna do that chip thing, right? For real?
Seminar? Yeah, at our school there's a seminar on Saturday, so I guess you
find me
an
A4.
Yeah, I'll find you one. We have a bunch of tall people.
Okay, good.
So,
I'm looking forward
cool.
to that.
I'm looking forward to destroying you with my triangles.
Yeah, no, I do know your takedown secret, so I'm not going to be falling for the old hand clap to the face.
Yeah. No,
and
that'll be
fun. Don't forget about you. I'll stretch your ass, too.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be back in
we'll
shape
see.
By then.
Got
cool.
2 weeks. Cool. I want to start the cardio.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling in, Whitney. We do appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go head out and see you all later. Enjoy your chit-chatting.
He's not thrilled with us.
You, dude.
All right.
Peace.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Fucking cocksucker.
What? Why do you gotta fuck up every show you're on, dude?
Well, you keep asking me to come on, and I keep trying to be intentionally bad, so you stop asking me.
Well, I'm hoping one day you'd actually get your act together. But
well,
anyway,
when are we gonna talk about reverse blood banks?
we've had enough of that conversation, too.
Come on.
Well, what was your favorite part of the trip?
I think it was cool meeting Raymond's family. You know, under the circumstance and
all, one
and
daddy
everything that
and
went,
four moms,
went down the last year.
All
that,
hug.
It was
moms
cool that they made
plastic
it there.
Daddy parts.
We got to get up there. I actually thought that
and they
when
hugged,
you
some of them hug his butthole,
teased Dave into giving a speech that he had stood up, and I thought he was actually ready to prepare to start talking. I thought we were getting a speech from Dave after, before it was all said and done, but he just quietly sat back down and let things go on.
Sometimes they hug his mouth with two daddy parts.
Hey, Pete, could you, like, when you talk, can you, like, put the phone away from your mouth when you're not on the show?
Oh, okay.
You're going to mute you or something, dude.
I don't know. I think I'm being put in the timeout booth.
Yeah, you're being put in the timeout booth now. So anyway, Horseman, can you go ahead and talk about what you what else did you join besides the dinner?
Besides having Ramey's family there,
yeah,
I got to spend. It was cool to get and sit and talk with Oliver on Thursday night. He came in and that night and showed up at the Sherwood Forest Cafe where a bunch of us were hanging out, and that's where we had the first of our many Patron shots for the weekend. And eventually people kind of started fading out and drifting off one by one, and it ended up with he and I just sitting and having some time to talk, and we were there till about 4:30 Friday morning, and he blamed it all on me the next day at the banquet when he was tired. But that was cool because I hadn't gotten to see him since last year. A small group of us on Wednesday afternoon picked up and hopped in Scott's car, and we headed towards California for about, I don't know, 40 minutes.
Buzzy.
Ended up in Prim, which is, I guess, out near the California border. There was a little group of hotel casinos out there that we went out and spent, I don't know, about 4 hours out there playing slots and just kind of stumbling around, seeing what was out on the outskirts away from the downtown and the strip.
Cool.
One thing
I was going to say, we were actually getting another caller here, so let me get him on the air before we run out of live airfare here. So,
yeah.
Caller calling from area code 504, who's this?
Ed, why in the world do you constantly have that piece of white trash, Hoosier?
I can't share the line with the colored folk. I really can't.
I don't understand it. Why do you have a white trash Republican? Why do you have that white trash Republican on your damn show, bringing it down? I'm gonna stop listening.
You bring a pedophile on the show in front of me here. You know he doesn't have the dignity to even bring up reverse blow bangs in the first 30 seconds. I gotta go, guys. I'll be emailing those naked photos I got of you. I'll be putting those on Facebook.
Just,
everybody, peace out.
Whatever. Kiss my ass.
Well, you scared Pete off the show. He actually hung up.
I'm sure I'll hear from him. I'll hear from him in a minute, I'm sure. But I don't know. I don't know why you continue that. I have to fast forward through each and one of his segments, and I mean it's ridiculous. I'm getting ready to stop listening altogether. So anyway.
Well, then
I
guess we can write
your shirt. Finally saw you without your shirt. Is this true?
If he did, it wasn't intentional. He may have, I don't know if I maybe left the door unlocked one of the times when I was in there taking a shower, and maybe that's how he got a peek. But if he did, it really wasn't intentional at all. I promise you it wasn't.
Cool. Now, Ronnie, what was your favorite part of the show?
I can't really point out one moment, but there's two that kind of like stand out. I wouldn't say they were necessarily like my favorites, but it was two. One of them was Dazza. I don't know if y'all got a chance to see him dance, especially when him and Bridget got together. Like there was the one part where he was like he was like backing his ass up on Bridget, and I don't know, just his facial expressions and hers and. You could just tell just both of them were just loving life. That was kind of the this was a Saturday night after the UFC show that I don't want to talk about. And I was pretty much like in kind of a crappy mood, to say the least, right after that show. But I remember at one point like seeing the both of them like just dancing and doing their thing, and after that you couldn't help but smile. So that was one moment. And the other moment, well, actually it happened several times. Well, you know, obviously, you know Scott, and Scott's usually, you know, pretty monotone, mild-mannered guy. But I've never, ever, ever seen him so excited when he was playing them damn slots, and especially when a bonus would hit, or when a bonus was getting ready to hit, he's like, come on, oh shit, here we go, and the bonus would hit, he's like, yeah, fucking, he's like pumping his fist, and I'm just kind of looking at him. I'm like, damn, is that Scott? What the hell have you done with Scott? I'm like, I've never seen him like that. So that brought a smile to my face every time that happened. So I don't know. Those were two moments out of many that kind of stand out.
How did you like the Excalibur show?
It was cool. There wasn't enough. I wanted some more like blood and guts, like off of like Spartacus, but it was all right. But I think my favorite character was actually the little Brian the Midget, the little jester. I guess that's what he was. I have to say he was my favorite character. I hated the little kid at the end. I don't know, something about him. I just wanted to like pretty much punch him in the throat. But
you don't think the best cool. part of the whole show was when they killed his father? And he steps back and he just screams,
"No!" Wait, you know what's funny about that? When I was watching that, I had a flashback. We did this play way back like in high school, like our senior year for our fine arts class. And it reminded me of there was one scene where like we were doing this deal and one of the characters in our group, you know, got killed off or whatnot. And that just reminded me of that because. was this one scene. My friend was like, the character, he's like, no, murderer. And just the way he said it, it was so cheesy and phony and, like, really horribly acted. And that's what that reminded me of. So, but yeah, that was cool. It was a cool shot. I'm glad I went to see it.
I like how they made the most douchebaggy-ish looking guy the French guy, because that's just apropos.
Wait, and I knew exactly like when they showed it, when I saw the Fleur de Lis, I'm like, oh shit, this has to be the king of France. And it's like right as I look over at you, that's me. All I hear is like, boo. Boo, and I'm like, and I'm thinking, why the hell is he booing his friend? And before I could even finish that thought, I'm like, oh, that's because it's silly. And so I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I actually thought the show was pretty cool, man. I thought they were all right, and yeah, it was pretty cool. And you know, if Brian ever wants to give up the wrestling gig, he can just go and take the place of that little jester, because it's about the right time.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm not even saying anything, but I'll agree, I'll give you that. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Well, how did you enjoy eating the food with no utensils? Because I take it you're usually the type of guy who's usually pretty neat and keeps everything in order.
Yeah.
And then you have to go caveman style on it.
Yeah, now here's the thing. Now pretty much, obviously, you know, in front of people, I like to maintain a certain standard and decorum, so I have the knife and fork and got the napkin on my lap and all that stuff. But the good thing is with this, it wasn't that bad. I think it would have been different if we would have been sitting, like, in a round table, like, type of setting, where, like, if everybody, like, was looking at me, and then I think I'd be, like, more comfortable, like, eating that with my hands and getting grease on my face and all that stuff. But this was fine because it's, like, you know, it was just more like in a straight line, and, you know, then the only ones, like, Barbara's, like, to my left. Barbara wasn't paying attention to what the hell I was doing. She was watching the show, and Peach was doing God knows what. So, and I don't think the people that were sitting across from us were really concerned. So, I don't know. It was all right. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, luckily Barb didn't get us kicked out of there.
Are you worried about Barb?
I was kind of worried
because
she was just going. She was videotaping, taking pictures. And she was being cool about it until she decided to turn her flash, or she accidentally turned her flash on. And once that flash went off, I was like, oh, God, here it is. Count down to 30.
Nah, it's all good. I think if they would have come up to Barb and they figured, oh, Barb, oh, she's a girl, she's pretty, I will let her slide. I think if it was you, I think they would have kicked you out, hands down. But I think with Barb and she had landed, and I think they would have saw that and she would have been fine. So.
Now, speaking of landing, you remember how like you chilled with us at the airport for a little bit before you went to get just go to your gate?
Yeah.
As soon as you leave, that little bugger turns to me and says, "I like him more than you."
Damn, that's messed up.
Yeah. but anyway,
now you can't
I gotta
say, Ronnie,
I was actually kind of worried for your safety for those first couple of days after what happened last year with Horseman and his man love. Was Horseman under control those first 2 days?
Yeah, thank God. He was he was good this year. Yeah, thank God. I didn't need to get a restraining order.
So oversold. Oh man, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't believe
mm-hmm.
this is
whatever. I think the proof is in the pudding, buddy.
Whatever.
I know I'm irresistible and all. Apparently, based on a Peach's supposedly favorite moment was seeing me shirtless. That damn freaking Sandusky pedophile.
Hey, you were the one that roomed with him. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I was trying to save some money.
Well. You might have lost a lot more in the long run, it sounds like.
Yeah, possibly. I have to find out exactly what it is that he's seen.
I was going to say, the money you might have saved by rooming with him, you may spend twice as much, you know, going after those photos or whatever you allegedly has.
Well, y'all keep an eye out for me because if I see one inappropriate photo or video posted of me, I'm going to have to spare no expense to go out there to Guam and beat his ass. So if I can't do it, hire pay somebody $5-$10 out there to beat his ass for me. I can't have that.
No. Speaking of beating someone's ass, let's right now, let's stop the bullshit. Let's get your real feelings on Alex Golf trying to infringe on your gimmick as a token black guy.
But come on, now Ed, for real. Now, come on, now Alex ain't black. I mean, seriously. So he, what is he infringing on? The blackest one out of the crew is Cancer, and you know, and he wasn't there. So I'm the next best thing that you got. Alex ain't. Come on, now seriously. Have you seen Alex speak? You know, I like Alex and all, but geez, Alex is as white as they come. Alex, no contest, no competition.
We were being the horsemen. We were talking about the dinner earlier. What were your thoughts on the dinner and everything that happened?
Dinner was cool. I was glad that Shelly and her family, and I forget, okay, her dad's name is Barry. Okay, I remember him. I forget her, I think it was her, it was a relative of hers. I'm sorry, I forget her name. But, you know, I was glad that they were able to make it. And I got to talk to Shelly's dad, you know, after the dinner, like not too long after, you know, she did her speech, which I think you got to be pretty heartless for that not to get to you. It was kind of hard to, like, not hold back, you know, shedding a couple of tears. But, you know, but I was glad that they were able to make it, and I got to talk to her dad, you know, a little while after. It was myself, Freeway, and his girlfriend, Jess. And we actually talked to Dad for quite a while. And, I mean, it was cool because he was, you know, talking about, you know, memories of Chris, of Rami, and, you know, how he watched wrestling together, you know, every Monday or whatnot, like clockwork, and, you know, how he, you know, pretty much, you know, misses that. And it was kind of sad, like, toward the end, like, he started, you know, like, tearing up and, you know, this and that, but I mean, overall, I mean, the dinner thing, it was a success. But I'm glad that they actually got to come out and you know, and meet everybody. So it was cool.
I was just gonna add too. I don't know if you guys discussed it earlier when you were, you know, any of the other times you were talking about the dinner and everything, and especially when Shelly got up and started talking. I was sitting kind of almost across the room, you know, directly face to face with Rami's dad, and you know, just a couple minutes into her talking to all of us, and you just watch him and the emotion that welled up in him almost out of nowhere. And he was, I mean, literally crying, just sitting there listening to what she had to say to us. And it was really, really hard, you know, not to see that and not be kind of, you know, drawn in and kind of, I'm sure there were a lot of us that were fighting back similar emotions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. We were talking outside, and like he started tearing up. I had to just like give him a hug. I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless you've, you know, been through that type of situation. I don't have kids, obviously, and unless you've been through something like that, you really don't know, you know, exactly what someone's feeling. But all I could do at the end was just kind of give him a hug, and I remember telling him, you know, all you can do is you know, just hang in there. You know, just take things, you know, one day at a time. You know, the pain of losing him is not, you know, going to go away. And, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you can't replace him, but, you know, you have other kids to lean on for support. And, you know, and I mean, that's all you can do, you know, situation like this.
It's amazing how, like, all these, you know, there's let's be honest, there's a lot of knuckleheads on the board. And it's just amazing how all these weirdos and trolls and gimmicks and just people from all over could come together and just affect this family life the way they did. I mean, I really wish somehow it had been recorded, because, you know, all the people who donated or wrote stuff or wrote letters when he was ill, you know, I mean, they would just be amazed about how much, you know, it was appreciated. And, you know,
yeah,
it was just, I mean, to me, that made, like, the convention kind of special. I mean, it's just like, it was actually something important that happened this year, you know, instead of just having guys having fun or whatever. I mean, there was actually some, like, real, real meaning to it. And it was, you know, like I say, it was incredible. I mean, I don't know how I didn't break into tears, considering I was standing there, you know. And
yeah, I don't. Yeah, and then Whitney too. I was kind of watching her,
And I was thinking the same thing there about both of y'all, especially with y'all being like right there, how y'all were not able to, you know, y'all were able to hold back, but that's a tough deal. And I mean, that's the thing. I didn't know him, you know, personally, because you know, I'm not really, you know, on the board too much. I guess like you and Justin, I'm guessing may have had like you know, more contact with him than I did. But it just kind of hit home, you know, when his sister was up there, you know, talking about him. And it's tough, but I really think the one thing about it, you know, everything she said, you could tell that she was legit, like speaking from the heart. And I think, and I really believe that she's, you know, very, very appreciative of what, you know, everyone did as far as donating, as far as sending cards and flowers and everyone's words. I think that really, you know, really means a lot to her, you know, and the family. So I just don't think it was one of those situations where, you know, she took what everyone did, you know, for granted. I think they genuinely, you know, appreciated it.
Yeah. I think that it kind of shows, you know, it's both situations between the Vegas convention itself and the situation with Rami and what happened and the way that all the members of the website pulled together to donate and raise money and, you know, send their thoughts and prayers and well wishes and contribute in any way they could, is that they're both, you know, very bold examples of how there's two sides to it. There's the board and the personalities and everybody's kind of gimmick and the way they act there. And then there's, you know, the opposite of when all, you know, the curtains are down and everything, everybody's just themselves and there's no gimmicks and everybody gets along and there's no issues or confrontation. It's just everybody has stuff in common and they get along and everything goes great. And it shows that flip side to the board culture, so to speak, that what happens when, you know, you don't need all that and you can just be yourself and how we can all get along and how it's an amazing example of what can transpire.
Yeah, it really is.
And as far as getting along, like I had mentioned earlier, it's like, you know, I really was worried, like, when so many people, you know, because there was about a good third of the regulars who weren't there on this trip, just for whatever reason. And, like, I was, like, thinking about who's there. I was like, okay, I remember this guy's kind of quiet and this guy's kind of quiet, but it's like everybody, in a way, like, stepped up. And it's just like, you know, the people who they had been quieter last year were more talkative this year. And it's like, you know, now and there was, like, new people who were, like, just taking, you could tell, like, Barack, you could tell he was just kind of taking it in. And just you know, pretty much kind of like he was watching us, you know what I mean, in some ways. And so, like, the new people were, like, the same way. And, you know, it was just, I was actually very proud of, like, how everything went down, because it's like, we didn't miss a beat. I mean, yes, I would have loved to have Jakey and Bluefist, Audrey and Charlie, Teddy, and, you know, a couple of the other guys. But it's like, we didn't really miss a beat, you know? I mean, you know.
But, that's the thing, too. Well, you brought up a good point. Like Dazzler was one of the people that stands out to me when you brought that up about, you know, being more, you know, outgoing this year. And he even pointed out, you know, he was saying, look, when I came last year, you know, obviously I didn't really know anybody, you know, but, like, you know, this year, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I was able to open up more because, you know, I got to meet you guys the year before, and, you know, and I'm more comfortable now. So I think even he, you know, he was a, you know, he allowed himself, you know, to have, you know, more fun. Now, this thing is one of those things, like, when you come for the first time, I was like that, you know, I didn't know anybody, you know, whatnot. And, you know, and look what it's turned into, you know, all these years later. And I just think that's going to happen, you know, with everybody that comes, you know, for the first time or whatnot. Each year you're going to have, you know, new people. And each year you're going to have some people who weren't there the year before, you know, whatever. But I don't. But that thing, that's why I don't even know. I don't even worry about that, because you're going to have the people that might not be able to make it from the year before. But you're always going to have the people that are there, like in the current year, to help, you know, the newbies, you know, feel comfortable, you know, or whatnot. So that's just my take on it.
Well, even for me, like, this year, you know, I think, and I was trying to explain, kind of get at it earlier, is like, in the past years, I felt like there's been kind of a lot of, for lack of a better word, cliques you know, there's a lot of, like, little people that'll group it and go do stuff during, you know, all the downtime or when outside of basically, like, when it's not a UFC time or the after party at Dick's or the, you know, steak dinner slash banquet. Outside of that stuff, you know, people kind of tend to form their own little groups and go off and do their things within those groups. And this year it felt like it was more communal, to where everybody spent more time together as a bigger group versus, you know, kind of having these splinters and stuff. And for me, going into this year, kind of knowing some of the people that weren't going to be there that I would tend to spend my time with, like Charlie or Bluefist or, you know, whatever, that I there were a lot of people that I really didn't talk to as much last year that I set out to spend more time with this year and get to talk to more, and I really got a chance to accomplish, you know, all of that. So that kind of, coming from that perspective of not being somebody who's new to being at the convention, that, you know, it's still different things that you can do in that way.
Yeah, like, I think, like, the mini golf was a good idea because that got, like, everybody, you know, together.
Yeah.
It really did. And I think there was some people, we had to break up in groups of, I think it was five people. Mm-hmm. And you probably had a couple of those groups where you had a few people that really hadn't had a chance to, you know, talk to each other. But when you're doing something, you know, like a mini golf, you're in such close proximity like that, you know, it's just natural. It's bound for the conversation to open up. And I like the idea of mini golf, even though I sucked at it. But whoever came up with the idea, got to give them props because it was cool. It was a good thought.
Yeah, and then another thing is it's becoming more. It's not just like okay, the first two conventions. Okay, the second one where we had more people. Like, who was the only girl there was, like, Lady J. And now, you know, we got Whitney, we got Bridget, we got, you know, we got Jessica, we got Barb. Whitney, we got the, I can't think of the name, the guy and his Asian girlfriend.
Young Stevie. That's Steve and Yoshi.
Yes, them, and then you have, like, Alex and his wife, and it's just become more and more acceptable, where it's just not like it's not just a group of guys. It's like
It's less of a sausage fest.
It's kind of breaking down too with people seeing, you know, it's not just these guys go and do all wrestling or UFC related stuff and that's what they get together for.
Right.
So it's just kind of the group of knuckleheads doing their guy stuff. It's we have all activities for, you know, 4, 5, 6 days that everybody can be a part of, and you don't kind of have to be part of that thing to be there.
Yeah,
exactly. And even too, it works for the girls too. If the guys are off at the UFC, even those girls, I mean, obviously they didn't know each other, you know, prior to coming out, you know, on these trips. They met because of the husbands or respective boyfriends or whatnot. So even I've even seen, like, just on Facebook, there's been friendships made there, you know, between the girls, you know, because of these trips. So
I mean, everything is just, it's just becoming, and then there's, like, you know, I was actually worried that, like, when the convention got moved, and it's like, Brian, you know, he said he was going to push it, but he really was real relaxed about it this year, and I was like, man, we'll be lucky if we get 30, 40 people, and it almost seemed like we were actually, for the first year, we're going to decrease, but then, like, the last week or so, it's just like, all these people just popped up, and it's like, we actually ended up having more people.
I think getting started, you know, in advance, there's a good chance that we can hit 100 next year. I think that there could be a really good, you know, build, for lack of a better term, to get people, you know, interested in, and want to come out.
I agree.
I'm thinking if it's going to be in July again, I mean, you know, start promoting it, you know, on the website. I mean, like, right around, maybe like right after WrestleMania. So, you know, that'll give a couple of months, you know, for those that, you know, you're already going to have the majority that already know when the trip is or whatnot. But, you know, wait till the mania craze is over. And then I'd say, like on the first Brian and Vinny show right after WrestleMania, you know, start pushing for Vegas then, because most likely by that time, especially with Scott on the case, you know, booking rooms and suites and banquets and all of that stuff will pretty much be done by that time anyway, so you can, you know, go ahead and push it and I don't see why, you know, you'd be able to get 100 people to push it early
enough.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, even though we're, you know, a little under a year out now, there was even talk during this year's convention of kind of mixing things up next year to where it's going to be that same time that if people end up getting in early in the week, like some did this year, that, you know, maybe people, we go and stay downtown for the first couple days, especially earlier on in the week, down at Fremont, because they've, you know, they've done a lot to refurbish down there. All the hotels have pretty much been remodeled, and it's a little bit cheaper than being on the strip down there. That, you know, there have been a handful of people that are interested in going, staying down there for a couple nights at one place, hanging out, or, you know, making Fremont basically be the hangout for the beginning of the week, and then picking up and moving to the strip closer to the weekend, and then just kind of focusing there for the rest of the weekend. That way you're not spending a bunch of, you know, money on cabs going back and forth between the two.
Right.
That way you still get a chance to go experience Fremont at one part, and then you move to the strip and kind of stay centered down there for the rest of the weekend. So that might be something that people start to think about and keep in mind.
I think that's a very good idea, too, because... Oh, go ahead, Ian.
Well, I was going to say, another thing that's good about next year is that the 4th will be on Thursday.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of people used to stay till Monday, but this year, like, a lot of people left on Sunday because they came a little earlier. But the 4th being on Thursday, and if you're going to do, like, the four nights is, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, like, those are the main nights that we're actually, like, do stuff as a group. So next year, I think it'll even be better. And, you know, of course, people go a little earlier, and, of course, they could be they were downtown. And, I mean, I think next year is even going to be more convenient. And, I'm already excited. I'm already counting the days. I'm already got plans in my head.
I
was going to say, basically, I know now that I don't have any plans to try and make it to Mania next year. I'm going to focus just strictly on Vegas and the convention and trying to probably spend a good, you know, 6 to 7 days down there again.
Yeah, and I think because Scott and I talked about this because it was actually his idea, because originally I was going to leave, you know, on Thursday as I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but he came up, he got the hotels, you know, cheaper downtown. So I was like, okay, you know, that's cool. So, you know, get down there. And, I mean, downtown is just, I mean, obviously it's older. It's different in the sense that I think the crowd downtown is a little bit different as opposed to on the main strip. But there's still, like, a ton of casinos out there downtown. And then plus, I find that the slots are more loose. It's cheaper to stay down there, and then you have a lot of different places to eat that are cheaper, you know. Also, and I talked to a lot of people, you know, during our trip down there, and there was a lot of people that hadn't even been downtown. Like, have either been to Vegas once or twice or more than that, and they haven't even been downtown. So I'd recommend to anybody if they're gonna come down, you know, especially if it's for, you know, 4 or 5 nights, you know, or whatever, you know, spend like maybe the first half downtown, and then maybe like on Saturday, you know, move up, you know, to the main strip, which that's going to be the day of the UFC show or whatever, and, you know, stay a couple of nights there. That'd be my recommendation. Then plus your money will go a little bit further too.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, going down to Fremont this year, they had the plaza reopen, which was completely shut down. We were down there last year, and it looks really nice inside, based, you know, from being down on the casino floor and everything. Plus, it's got a hash house, a go-go, which is, you know, sounds like a great place to eat that I still haven't had a chance to get to. And so
I wanted to go again this year, too.
Yeah, they've got that right there in the lobby of that hotel. Plus, you know, going, the plaza is basically at one end of Fremont Street, so you can start there, work your way down and back.
And just work it,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah, I reiterate everything Roddy said, but the slots seem to be a little bit looser.
We can make a group. We can all go as a group to the Glitter Gulch.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, yeah.
I may or may not, well, depending on what happens in a year from now, I may or may not be able to help facilitate that.
There's no time for the Glitter Coach. That might be the most tedious strip club in Vegas, but damn, I've had some good times in that place.
it's right there. So, but I don't know. That'd be my recommendation to everybody. But like, if you're only going for like a couple of days. I know some people sometimes can't get in until like that Friday or whatnot, whatever, and like might leave that Sunday or Monday. Then you may want to just, you know, stay on the strip most of the time. But if you're going to stay for an extended period of time, I'd recommend splitting it up half and half. So, but
yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I'm having off phone conversations here.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, like I say, make sure we'll get the usual that chicken down on us this year. We'll get them in there. And I don't see why Blue Fist and Audrey just don't get married in Vegas.
I sent him the picture, and I'm sure we'll discuss it more because he and I got to get together and record some stuff for our show. So we'll probably do our own little bit of post Vegas after, you know, craziness, and record that for.
Don't we'll get Brian to do the what do you call it? We'll get Brian and Mary on it.
Oh yeah, that's right. You can get in to perform the ceremony. There you go.
I'd still like to see him go back to the Hotter Than Hill Wedding Chapel at the Kiss Indoor Mini Golf.
I'm fine with that option as well.
I think we go there, they get married, and we play a round of golf to celebrate.
Right. And then we go to Margaritaville for drinks and make him pretend that's the beach.
Exactly. See?
You won't have to pretend too hard because you're surrounded by desert and it's going to be hot as hell.
Yeah.
So.
It took us 30 to 45 seconds to plan their whole wedding right there. I mean, I don't know why it's got to be that hard.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Keep it simple.
Although I don't know about Rick Dunbeck being dressed up amongst the palm trees at Margaritaville.
Oh Lord, yeah, he'd be one of the swaying palm trees.
Yes.
I just remember at 5 o'clock I was like, okay. Well, I guess Sideswipe and Ricky had already woken up, but it's like I was like, all right, get rid of that up. He ain't staying here. And then I was like, oh wait a minute, Orson is still outside. Let's go wake him up too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there were that many people that passed out at the suite.
The funniest one was Bar, because we were out on the balcony and she's up on like one side and she's sitting down and she just goes to sleep. And then everyone was like, you know, asking me if she's okay, and I know Bar. It's like at that point, if I would have tried helping her up, she probably would have just got mad. So I'm like, let's just let her. She's not to that point where she needs help. I know how to gauge this. So
yeah.
After a while,
no,
that was
probably best.
Yeah. So she's still like, she's out there. I'm like, hey, Barb, are you sure you're okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm not trying to wake up. And the next thing you know, she kind of like lifts her legs up and she starts like kicking in the air.
What?
I'm like, not like violently, but like she's like moving her legs. And, she's moving her arms.
Okay.
She's trying with all of her might to wake herself up.
Wow.
But it was just
so
no
she's literally
just back out, and finally I was able to get her to get up and go to bed.
Wow. So she was literally fighting sleep. Did you get video of this?
Unfortunately, I didn't because she would have killed me.
That had to be the funniest. I would have paid to see that.
It was so like her legs just kicking in the air, her little legs. But the professor predicted he was going to pass out, kind
of.
You know?
Wait, like something off of a like Nightmare on Elm Street or something, like she's trying to stay awake so Freddy doesn't get her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nah, that's awesome.
Cool. Well, pretty much we've been on the overrun for a while here, so we'll go ahead and slowly start to wrap it up here. Ronnie, is there any other thing that you haven't talked about that you want to talk about or anything you want to tell the members who are on the verge of going but just haven't decided to go yet?
I don't think there's really much more that needs to be said. I mean, everybody who has not gone has seen the evidence over the past now, five trips, six counting the one
that
you went on. And I don't think there's really much that much else that needs to be said. Everybody who hasn't gone just needs to get their ass out there and experience at least once And I guarantee once they go once, they're going to want to continue to go every year after that. So, I mean, said it before, you're going to have a shitload of fun. You're going to make a hell of a lot of friends. And, I mean, I'm proof positive of that. So, and I mean, and so myself and a lot of other people. So, that's about it. Just everybody go ahead and go and get out there.
And a lot of people, they want to go and they want to meet Brian and Dave. And Brian's always been good about, you know, being part of the group, and he'll work the room. But every year, it seems like Dave gets more into it. Like, every year, Dave's more friendly and stays around longer and makes more of a point to get to know everybody. So if you want to talk wrestling, if you've ever had the fantasy, and if you're a member of the website, we all know you have, of just talking wrestling with Dave Meltzer, this is your chance.
Exactly. Just don't ask Dave about his family, because you're going to get one-word answers. If you get a response at all, but if you ask Dave about who won the Crockett Cup in 1986 or whatever, that'll get him going. So just keep it to wrestling, and Dave will be your best friend.
Now, Justin, is there anything that you haven't talked about that you want to, or any message you want to give?
I will say, anybody who's thinking about it, or, you know, on the verge, or is keeping it in the back of their head, two things: you go to the Empire Get Together section on the board. This year's convention thread, which is at the very top of the stickies, Vegas Convention Now, July 2012, it's at 113 pages. You can go there and read from page 1 all the way to 113. You can see everything that people said leading up to the convention, everything that was posted during and after the convention. If that doesn't change your mind, I don't know what's going to get you to come. But you go there, make that, you know, I would say reference source, number one. Number two, keep checking the same get-togethers section for the 2013 thread, because when that begins, if you have any interest whatsoever in any way possibly attending, keep your eye on that thread, because it's gonna give you all the information, for one. It's going to give you an idea of who's planning on going, if you're looking for people to travel with, or to meet up with, or room with, or you want to keep an eye for deals, or to get in on tickets, anything. Those two threads are probably the biggest keys to, you know, keeping up to date on everything, and probably, you know, especially if you take the time to read through the 2012 thread, should definitely set you straight as far as, you know, making sure that you show up in 2013.
Okay. Yeah,
and I couldn't have said it better myself.
I just remembered one more story that I wanted to tell before we go, and that is a couple, like, we actually had a surprise visitor on Saturday. I don't think a lot of people got to meet the guy, but anyway, late Friday night at the suite, Ben Miller shows up on the website. Everyone knows Ben Miller is a tall, skinny, Jewish, nerdy guy. He's just a nerd, but he's cool. But he shows up with a couple guys, and one of the guys, I was actually very excited to meet when I found out he was there, because I had gotten in contact. This guy contacted me a few conventions ago wanting information, and I gave it to him. He unfortunately didn't make the trip, but he contacted me sometime later, telling me that that to be on the lookout, that Trina Michaels was going to go do a little show in San Antonio, and just he was letting me know that if I wanted to go check it out. And then he ended up making contact between me and Trina, and so, you know, Trina's become, as far as like the wrestler, she's one of the ones that I've stayed in contact quite a bit with and become good friends with, and I always appreciated that this guy kind of hooked me up with her, and I actually got to meet him. His name's Raven, and he came down with Ben. He's a real cool cat, and it was really an honor to meet him, and it's just like, it was a privilege, you know, just because, you know, he ended up meeting me with Trina. And he also came with a friend, and his friend happens to be a very large, very jacked up black individual who you might have seen on the WWE TV when he used to be with his partner, and he used to be talking about more money, more money, more money. So, yes, Chad Gaspar, the Crane Time, showed up to the suite, at the pool at the suite, and he was really cool, but was probably the funniest thing memory I have of the whole trip is, like, we were there hanging out, and me and Whitney and Dez went up to get some more drinks. And at that time, Barb and her kid had been walking, and they had come back, so we met them upstairs. And then her kid had bought these, like, toy cigarettes or heavy cigarettes. They looked like...
Oh, yeah,
exactly,
you told
like,
me that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looked like a real cigarette. Had, like, the filter. At the end, it was, like, red, like it was actually lit up. And if, like, you blew out or you could inhale it, the candy or whatever, and then it would look
yeah.
like you were actually puffing the cigarette. So... Or else it's me, Whitney, Barbara, Dez, and we're about to go down, and it's funny because you just hear Barb, honey, don't forget to bring your cigarettes. But just, anyway, we go down there, so we can, he's wearing a black fedora, this real cool fedora that Barb had bought him. So we go down
yeah,
there.
That hat was pimp. I can't even lie.
Yeah, it was pimp. So Chad just takes a look at this kid. He's like, little man. You need to hold that cigarette like this. He's giving him lessons on how to hold a cigarette all cool. And then he's like, now you got to look around like you're looking for somebody, but you're not really looking for anybody, and kind of bob your head up and down. So he's like, Chad Gaspar is giving a little man in pip lessons. I thought that was like the funniest thing on the whole trip, man. So it's like you also never know who you're going to run into at these shows because, like we say, we've had Roderick Strong, we've had Daniel Bryan, we've had Evan Bourne, we've had Chad Gaspar now. So who knows? Maybe next year they're going to
in
the show.
It was surreal for a couple seconds there having Evan taking my picture on Thursday night.
I saw the picture after I had... you know, texted him to send it. But, yeah, that was a great picture.
Yeah. One of many that are out there for people who
want
to find
them. One more thing real quick I just thought of. Who has the group picture? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Maxie, I think it was Maxie, and I mentioned I put a thing on her wall if she had been able to post it yet. So hopefully we'll get that pretty soon.
I was also
under
the impression that that Jess had one because she had taken the mustache group pictures too. So I thought that I don't know if somebody else got another copy of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just wondering. I hadn't seen it. So all right.
Well,
hopefully
pretty soon. My album's almost ready. I'm just waiting for Barb to send me a few pictures that she didn't post on Facebook. And then you get the group photo, and then I'll be able to put the big ass Vegas the album. So I don't think it's as crazy as last year's photo album, but it'll be nice and big, and it'll have, like, a lot of the fun that we got into, and, you know, it's cool getting to, you know, you'll get to see pictures of people, like, the one and only Thrasher, who was an awesome dude, and it was awesome giving him a Mega Powers handshake. And
that's going to be my resolution for next year's convention, is to actually take more pictures, not just show up in some. Actually, bust out my camera and take a bunch.
I didn't take a lot this year either.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I was having phone trouble, so my phone was almost dead, so I didn't take too many. My phone's almost gonna die, so we better end the show here pretty soon. So, everybody come back.
Yeah.
Everybody, get your ass to Vegas. It's a good time. Even if you're shy, you'll meet somebody you'll get along with. I mean, there's always. I mean, you got this little short dude from Seattle who became best friends with some ugly Puerto Rican dude from New York. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you know you'll make friends for life. You know, and hopefully, you know you'll be in contact with it for forever. And you know it'll just be a good time. So everybody, get your ass to Vegas next year. Hit me up for info. You can always hit me up at f4wfan@hotmail.com. You can always hit me up at Ed and San Antonio on the board or on Facebook. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good time. So don't be a puss. Don't be a wuss. Just get your ass there to Vegas.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. I'm gonna end the show with the thing that turned, you know, when I first did the very first one, I got a lot of hate from the board because of just the idea of me trying to buy Brian and Vinny's friendship. And everyone hated the idea of the convention until this was released on the board. So listen to these and enjoy.
What do you think about Anchor?
Anchor!
Anchor, that motherfucker puts my fucking pee in that motherfucker. Fuck Anchor. Fucking Anchor's ass. Fuck Anchor, that son of a bitch. I kick his fucking ass. That fucking piece of shit. Anchor, motherfucker. Fuck him, dude. Who the fuck is Anchor, dude? My man is fucking San Antonio, man. I'm fucking doing what I want, man. Fuck Anchor, that son of a bitch. He can kiss my motherfucking ass.
Hey, you were ragging on you were ragging on Meltzer a second ago. You say
Dave,
you like Meltzer.
Dave can kiss my ass.
Dave can kiss your ass?
I carry that show. I carry that show. Fuck Dave Meltzer, that motherfucker. He living in my coattail. He living in my fucking coattail.
And you were sitting on my foot.
I kicked Dave Meltzer's ass. I kicked his fucking ass, that motherfucker, Dave Meltzer.
All right, everybody, come back next week.
All right.